This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests, great stories, great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air, on the app, on the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Awesome. Truly an honor. Kind of speechless, honestly. You know, I got to thank God just for the talents and abilities that he's given me and the opportunity to play this game that I love. Also want to thank my family, my wife, Stacy, and the kids for the support that they give me, and the Baseball Writers Association for the votes, my coaches, teammates, and just everybody involved. You know, couldn't have done it without everybody.
They say that these are not the best of times. They're the only times I've ever known. And I believe there is a time for meditation in cathedrals of our own. Now I have seen that sad surrender in my lover's eyes. And I can only stand apart and sympathize. For we are always what our situations hand us. You see the sadness or euphoria.
While in the case of Jacob deGrom, it was a very deserving euphoria. As expected, as we've talked about really now for months, with Max Scherzer of the Washington Nationals and Nola of the Philadelphia Phillies being the other two finalists, despite winning just 10 baseball games. 10 all year for the New York Mets. Jacob deGrom joins Tom Seaver, who, by the way, won the award as a Met three times, Dwight Gooden, and R.A. Dickey as the fourth New York Met pitcher ever to win the very coveted Cy Young Award last night. So to Jacob deGrom, yeah. Met Nation, Bernie and Sid, congrats to our boy Jacob deGrom, who takes home the hardware for the Mets last night.
My man.
Very exciting.
I am. I'm very happy. The first thing is, he's a nice kid.
Very nice.
He's a nice young man.
And then he cut his hair. He looked so stupid.
He did cut it. That helped out a lot.
Yes,
and then you really got to see what a nice young man, a nice boy he is.
He had an amazing year. He pitched to a 1.70 ERA, Bernie.
Right.
Since 1969, that's the sixth lowest ERA for a starting pitcher. Struck out 269 batters. That was the most in Major League Baseball. So all the stats that matter. Look, wins and losses a lot of times are a product of the baseball team that you're on. You can have just a mediocre pitching season, pitch to a 4 ERA, for example, and win 15 games if you're on a very good baseball team. DeGrom pitched the lights out, but only won 10 games because for the most part of the season, up until the last 2 months, as you know, Bernie, the Mets were not very good.
That's exactly right. He was on the mound up there, dispirited, discouraged, no doubt that he couldn't get the team to score some runs behind his excellent pitching time after time after time. As a matter of fact, a few times he got up there and he scored his own runs to tie the game or take the lead or something like that. So throw out the wins and losses. I mean, with the atmosphere that was the Mets up until July. I mean, let's face it, after July, they were pretty good. But even after that, he pitched, and most times he didn't get the team to back him up.
No.
And so under those conditions, he held his head high, and he performed superbly, and he gave us a reason to watch the Mets till the very end.
Well, him and Syndergaard. You know, Syndergaard ended up like 13-3, but mostly DeGrom, yes, all season long. And 30 first-place votes, 29 of the 30 went to DeGrom. Max Scherzer did get one-place vote, and the guy that did it is a guy named Maffey out in San Diego. He writes for the San Diego Tribune. We tried to find the audio this morning. We couldn't get it. But our dear friend Steve Summers over on WFAN, he had this San Diego writer on last night.
Mm-hmm.
Asked him, why in the hell were you the only guy not to vote for DeGrom for this award?
Hey.
And according to the New York Post, this guy hung up on Steve Summers.
That's hilarious. That is so funny. And good job out of Steve Summers for doing that. But listen, Max Scherzer, he was... I got to say, he was fun to watch. He was on the Nats. He was just, I mean, this guy was exciting to watch.
Well, he always has been crazy.
He's a psycho. Crazy. Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And by the way, he's won this award. He's one of the few guys to win this award in both the American League and the National League. I mean, Scherzer winning it with the Detroit Tigers and the Washington Nationals.
He would throw a fastball, and after the fastball, he would scream.
Yeah.
And his eyes would bug out.
Yeah. I mean, very animated on the mound.
I could see how maybe somebody would be a fan of his and say, screw it, I'm voting for Max Scherzer.
No, stop. He's a great pitcher. He's fun to watch. But you don't vote for whether you're a fan of his or not. You vote based on the statistics. And DeGrom was the runaway winner. Just like Blake Snell was, by the way, for Tampa Bay in the American League.
Well, listen, nobody agrees with that more than I do. Jacob DeGrom was the man. And again, a nice kid, nice young fella. And it was a pleasure and it was a thrill to watch him all season long. And now what does he win, though? Does he win money, a trip to Disney? I mean, what is the Cy Young
award? You get an award.
That's it. No cash?
No, there's plenty of cash because
scholarship for the kids.
Please, as you and I are talking, the Mets are talking to Graham about a new 5-year deal. And because he's won the Cy Young award, that will add to the amount of money that he will get from the Mets.
He may not
get a check like Wheel of Fortune, but he's about to get a 5-year deal and a ton of money.
No trip to Turks and Caicos?
No.
And, you know, a Volkswagen Beetle or something?
No.
Okay, well, anyway, listen, congratulations. Very, very happy for him. And so they better keep him. I mean,
no, he's not going anywhere.
Give him what he wants.
Yeah. He's going to get a 5-year deal, and he's going to be all set.
You know what he should get, too?
What's that?
He should get half of Yoenis Cespedes' salary. That's what he should get. They should take that money from that clown and give it to Jacob.
He doesn't play. Right.
I know. I mean, this guy, he got paid. They both got paid the same, and this guy was on the golf course with an injury while DeGrom was out there breaking
his ass.
No, they
didn't get paid the same. Cespedes
got
over $100 million contract.
I know they didn't have the same salary.
No, not even close.
They got paid the same as what the agreement was before the season.
Right.
And that ain't right.
Cespedes hasn't played in 3 years, basically.
So you get my point?
Yes. Hey, Meany, before DeGrom won this award yesterday, winning just 10 games and winning the Cy Young, what pitcher, and it's recent, only 8 years ago, had the least amount of wins to win the Cy Young?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on.
The least amount of wins.
Yes. 8 years ago.
Maybe it was a Clayton Kershaw.
His record was 13-12 for the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, Felix Hernandez.
That's right.
No doubt.
That's right. Now, DeGrom also becomes the 7th pitcher ever to win the NL Rookie of the Year and win the Cy Young in his same career. Believe it or not, Tom Seaver did that. Dwight Gooden did that. Don Newcomb did that. Justin Verlander did that. Rick Sutcliffe did that. And there's one other guy. He's the only guy ever to win the Rookie of the Year and the Cy Young in the same season.
Sandy Koufax.
That's a great guess.
Yes.
But it's wrong. But I'll tell you how.
Oh, come on.
No, but I'll tell you how close you are.
Yeah.
It was a Dodger.
It was.
Yes.
Don Drysdale.
Another great guess. But no, later. This is later.
Okay.
He captivated America. Captivated America.
Oral Hershiser.
No, well, that's another great guess.
Bernie.
You just named three amazing Dodger pitchers.
Listen, I know what time it is, bro.
But this guy really, he captivated America. He came from a place that Donald Trump once said, they send us, they're drug dealers, they're rapists.
Fernando Valenzuela.
Hey, there it is. Fernando's the only guy to win the both awards in his rookie season of the 7 guys. But still, that's pretty good class, one of 7 that Jacob DeGrom joined last night.
And he's a 30-year-old kid, right? 30-year-old man.
Yes.
What am I kidding? What's wrong with me? He's 30 years old, for God's sakes. He's past his prime, actually.
DeGrom?
At 30?
I don't think he's 30. Is he 30?
I think he is.
Oh, my God. I thought it was younger.
Jill's furiously Googling it.
Jill,
right,
look
now.
It up, Jill. You've got all this info.
I could be wrong. I thought I read that he was.
No, I think he's younger than that.
He was also
30 years old.
Is he 30
years old?
Okay.
He also didn't pitch until he got into the minor league system.
Yeah.
He was a shortstop.
Late bloomer.
To say the least. Yeah.
If only he could bat. You could push this Ohtani kid out of the way.
Yeah.
And really. Actually, he did bat a couple of times this year, knocked in his own runs. Got on base his damn self and sometimes scored, got knocked in, and it actually helped his cause in those particular games.
Yeah.
At least 2 games that I can recall.
So he would have eight
wins.
So
he is the Ohtani of East Coast.
Ohtani had 22 home runs.
I'm calling him the Ohtani.
Ohtani's the real deal. But DeGrom was the best pitcher in baseball.
For the uninitiated, Ohtani is the Japanese Babe Ruth.
Yeah, I mean, they had one of those. His name was Sadahara Oh. But he didn't pitch like Babe Ruth. You're right, because he pitches and he hits. He is that guy, but it was just an amazing year for DeGrom. It's great that he won the award. And you know what's good now? You get a new GM who used to be his agent, which is really ironic, in Brody Van Wagenen. And you get Mickey Callaway coming back for year number two. Like you said, Bernie, the Mets actually played very good baseball July, August, and September. A couple of kids came up. You know, that kid McNeil at second base, he was very good. Brandon Nemo has become a fan favorite.
Yes.
So, you know, you win a postseason award and you get the fan base all enthusiastic and gunned up and excited for spring training and the 2019 New York Mets.
I feel it right now.
Don't you feel it? It's going to go away by tomorrow.
Meet the Mets, greet the Mets. I want to hear the song.
You want to hear it?
I'm into it right now.
All right,
now.
Well, play the damn song,
Mets Fever.
Come on.
Mr. Mets.
Hurry up and play this
song. Get
that
little fat bastard over here.
Because we have a lot to get to today, of course. Being the biggest thing is later on tonight, we're at the Hilton on Staten Island in a miserable weather, by the way. Bernie and I are about to win the coveted, talking about the Cy Young Award, the Jack Newfield Award, handed out annually at the Teddy Atlas Foundation dinner. So it's a huge night coming up for Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Also later on in today's program, we'll discuss Michael Avenatti's arrest, the protests outside for Amazon, and a couple of great guests stopping by today. It's Thursday. That means Bill O'Reilly on every Thursday now on the Bernie and Sid Show coming up at 8. Very famous actor Joe Mantegna, he's going to stop by. The great comedian Jackie the Joke Man, he's going to stop by. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Going to be a fun show. Bernie and Sid, we're getting awards tonight, like Jacob DeGrom did last night.
We are winners.
We're winners. We're coming back right after this.
To meet the Mets. All the fans are true to the orange and blue. So hurry up and come on down, 'cause we got ourselves a ball club, the Mets of New York town.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday light. For once, we had a politics-free award show for the most part. The Country Music Awards are a wrap, and keeping their word, co-hosts Carrie Underwood and Brad Paisley avoided making any political speeches or social commentary, keeping it a music-centric evening. Country icon Garth Brooks, however, opened the show with a moment of silence.
Tonight's show is lovingly dedicated to the 12 individuals whom we lost far too soon just a week ago tonight at the Borderline in Thousand Oaks, California.
On to the winners now. Hostess, female vocalist of the year, Carrie Underwood was. Chris Stapleton wins on the male side. And the overall grand poobah of country music, legendary Aussie country star Keith Urban, who tearfully praised his family, including wife Nicole Kidman, after winning Entertainer of the Year.
Baby girl, I love you so much. Thank you. I'm shocked beyond shocked. Our girls at home, Fief and Munchkin, I love you. Thank you for supporting Daddy and loving me through all of what I do. Same with you, baby girl. You make it all worthwhile.
Later, it was back to the host who battled over whether Underwood would break the news about the sex of her baby.
Come on, no. We all want to know. Just tell us. I want to know.
No.
Tell me.
Oh, my gosh. Willie. It's a Willie.
Carrie blew it. Hashtag Carrie blew it.
And the ongoing battle between Miranda Lambert and her ex-hubby Blake Shelton rages on, at least in the minds of me and the fans. Lambert took the stage last night with her Pistol Annie's bandmates to sing their song, Got My Name Changed Back. Social media, of course, erupted with theories, the common one being the obvious that this is all about Blake Shelton. But one of the other Pistol Annie says, look, we've got two divorces and two exes between the three of us. And Lambert herself says simply, we thought the world just needed a good divorce song. Not to be outdone, though, Team Shelton fired back via Us Weekly with the news that Blake and his girlfriend Gwen Stefani are planning to have a baby together with the help of a surrogate. Ouch. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
On a long and lonesome highway east of Omaha.
So it'd be great if, like, a bunch of people called us at 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222 to join the Bernie and Sid celebration for New York Met pitcher Jacob DeGrom winning the Cy Young Award. But, of course, most of those phone calls will be directed to Boomer and Geo this morning. I get that. But if you do want to call, Bernie and I, we're both diehard Met fans. And long before there was a Boomer and or a Geo talking sports on WFAN, I was. And Bernie was there as well with Imus. If you want to talk about that, we will have the phones open for you all day long. But one of the stories, of course, that you and I dove into yesterday head first, which included even an interview with a councilman in that area, District 26 in Queens, which includes Long Island City, Jimmy Von Bramer, who was everywhere yesterday.
Yes, he was.
Big story about this Amazon building, the headquarters going up in Long Island City. Cuomo for it, de Blasio for it, Van Bramer and many of the residents against it. And there was, in fact, a protest there yesterday, Bernie, and there you were on New York One last night, front and center.
I was there. I was there with my bullhorn, exhorting the crowd to get violent, actually.
Burning it down.
And I know you couldn't really see who I was because I was wearing a bandana over my mush. But no, this is we're not having this bull. This is a bunch of garbage here.
What?
Amazon is.
We were for it yesterday.
I'm vacillating. I was for it until Jimmy Von Bramer came on, and then I said, "Listen, I'm joining you at the protest."
Right.
And I thought about Molotov cocktails, but
no,
I didn't want to get arrested.
Right.
Thought better.
This isn't Hamas at the border.
No, I wanted to attend the big. Teddy Atlas Foundation dinner tonight, get the award.
Right.
So I thought of that and you. And it was out of consideration to you that I didn't.
What do you mean me?
Well, I didn't want to let you down by not showing up tonight, by being in jail for throwing Molotov cocktails.
Wow. You wouldn't have let me down. It would have been a kind of a cool story, to be honest.
In a Long Island City protest.
Maybe we could have gotten a phone to the jail. You could have called in.
Well, maybe I could have done that, right? but I didn't. But look, it's turning out to the deal stinks worse and worse. It seems. I mean, they just
No, it doesn't.
Compared to Amazon was probably they picked New York and Washington D.C. They probably suckered all those 20 or 30 cities that they said, "Hey, we may come to you guys." When they all along they had designs on New York and Washington D.C. two power centers. I mean, that's where they wanted to be. And yet, we gave away the store just to get them here, even though they probably were going to come here anyway.
See, what's happened is your dislike, and I share it with you, for the governor, Andrew Cuomo, who's just a dickhead, and this a-hole Bill de Blasio. Our dislike, your dislike for them now, has soured the deal for you more than even the specifics on the deal. The fact that they like it says to Bernie McGurk, this can't be good.
No, I don't like the idea of Amazon, first of all. It's something, even though I love the packages coming to my door, the idea that they put retail businesses out, they put them out of business. They screwed. Retail is, I mean, you see storefronts blank, for sale, vacant, all across the city. And that's all because of Amazon. So that's one little bit of bias, built-in bias. And also, if this was such a great deal, I mean, why didn't Governor Cuomo, before he was running, before the election, announce that he was or sing the praises of it? And I'm close to a big deal with Amazon, so vote for me. Because he knew that it probably wouldn't be popular. Look, and also the fact that they're going to be good for the hood there, they have these very fortress-like complexes that does Amazon and some of these other social media.
Google.
Joints.
Twitter.
Google, Twitter, all of them. They're very exclusive. They're inward looking. They have their own cafeterias and shops. They're not necessarily good for the neighborhood. The businesses are going to suffer.
They have bars.
They're inside their own campus.
So cool.
And they keep people out. They may cut off access to the waterfront down there. And, I just don't look, they split the headquarters. It was supposed to be we were going to get the 50,000 jobs, not 25. And then it was 25 are going to go to Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia.
Virginia, yeah.
And here, and the other 25 here. Did they lower the incentives after we found out we were only going to get half of the complex? Or did the incentives remain the same? We don't know that because they did it all in secrecy.
Right.
That's another part of the problem.
Well, that's Jimmy Van Bramer's big part
of
the problem. He was, he used this quote, "I'm steaming mad." You don't hear that often anymore, steaming mad.
I'm pissed.
Here he is, in fact, the councilman from District 26 who was just on this show yesterday. He's steaming mad,
Jimmy Von Bremer.
It may be cold outside, but I am steaming mad that the governor and the mayor have decided to throw Jeff Bezos almost $3 billion in subsidies and tax breaks.
That's Bernie. Yeah, Bernie.
Give it to the people.
And throw in a helipad so he doesn't have to take the damn 7 train.
Off with their heads.
That's what he's really pissed about, the helipad for the 7 train. If you want to hear more of what it sounded like, the protesters, not Jimmy Von Bremer, but the protesters, here's exactly what it sounded like outside in Queens yesterday.
We need money for education, not for banks and corporations.
Just this morning, I took out my phone. I deleted the Amazon app off my phone.
We should be investing in housing and hot water, not in helicopters.
Yeah. In the middle of a jobs crisis, we have to dole out so many handouts to the richest company in the world.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Whose money is it anyways? Is it the governor's money?
No,
is it our money? Whose money is it that we're giving away?
Money.
It's our money that is giving away. $3 billion worth of money. This is a gut check moment for our city, for our state, and for our democracy.
I don't know of anyone living in Queensbridge houses who got a good paying job from those companies. So you're not going to BS me a second time.
I am sick and tired of hearing these excuses from the state that they don't have money. We have money to pay for Jeff Bezos, the world's richest man, his helicopter pad, because he can't take the subway. The subway that we all have to deal with.
If you go down the street to the Vernon Jackson stop on the 7 train during the morning rush, there are people piled up not just on the platform, not just up the stairs, but onto the sidewalk.
Take the bus.
The subways are in crisis. Yeah.
We need better sewers.
You into it.
There you go. So
yeah. Well, look, those people will turn me into favoring the deal. To be quite there's no job crisis
of course
right now.
We're doing great.
No job crisis at all.
Not in the country.
A lot of that is whatever. And the fact is, they're not going to do much for those people in the Queensbridge houses. That is true. I mean, those people are not going to get these $150,000 jobs. Right. There may be some security jobs or whatever that they could they could fill or whatever.
Janitorial jobs.
But you know who made the best point was this guy's been on with us a couple of times, Assemblyman Kieran Lawler.
Yeah, he's good.
He made the point that if lowering taxes for a gargantuan business like Amazon is good for business, well, then lowering taxes in general for all businesses is good for business. I mean, that's what they did for these people to lure them here. And that's what the point that that Republicans make all the time is that high taxes is bad for business. And yet we're the highest tax state in the nation, both property taxes, income taxes, and taxes on business.
Right.
And so he made a great point in that regard, that these guys are hypocrites, essentially.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Bill O'Reilly, the great actor, Joe Mantegna, Jackie the Joke Man Martling. More surprises, your phone calls on this is coming up next.
Hey ho, Jeff Bezos has got to go.
I'm undocumented. You want to deport an undocumented person? Start with me.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Climb a ladder on a water tower, then we'll kick it with the stars for a couple hours. If you wanna, then we're gonna get away up high. If you wanna dip your toes where the water stops, then we'll let our feet hang off a fishing dock. If you wanna, then we're gonna have to give it a try. That's right. If you want to go out,
well, it takes rice for you. Get ready for our first snow of the year, everybody. Welcome back to the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show here on 77 WABC. Great guest list about to come your way. It's Thursday, and if you don't know now, joining our list of regulars, which includes guys like Bo Dietl and Anthony Cumia on Tuesdays, Anthony Scaramucci on Wednesdays, Chuck Todd and Arthur Idala on Fridays. Now we've got Bill O'Reilly every Thursday, and he'll be here later on this morning. That's great.
Spectacular.
Actor Joe Mantegna will be here. Funny man Jackie the Joke Man Martling. We've covered Jacob deGrom winning the Cy Young for the Mets. We'll get back to that. Big hockey game tonight, and a huge
college football game coming up this Saturday at Yankee Stadium. No joke. Huge. But we have been discussing over the last 20 minutes the Amazon headquarters in Long Island City and all the very unhappy people, which include Bernie.
Yes. I am livid, as a matter of fact.
Livid.
I'm going to put a pussy hat on. I'm going out to Long Island City today and leading my own protest.
All right. No, you can't do it today because you got the big award dinner tonight. Can't do it today.
Well, I can do it right after the show.
Okay.
I have time.
All right.
And I intend to go all Ferguson on this Long Island City. I'm going to burn that bitch down, bro.
Don't say that. What's the matter with you?
No, I'm serious. This is an outrage.
When was the last time you woke up on Staten Island? That's what I want to know.
The last time
you woke up on Staten Island?
It would have had to been when the Mets won the World Series that year.
Really?
Yeah. I had a girlfriend in Staten Island,
86.
86.
Right.
I remember driving home once.
Yeah.
The night the guy parachuted into Shea Stadium.
Okay.
But anyway, I had a girlfriend back then, and that's the last time I woke up there 1 or 2 days, and then I had to break up with her. I'm sorry. It was GU, geographically undesirable.
Right.
I lived in Westchester County.
Right.
And I couldn't make the hike.
Oh, okay.
Long-distance relationships don't work.
They don't work.
No. It wasn't worth heading to.
Sometimes relationships in the same house don't work.
That's true.
Right.
Very true. Hey,
sometimes those types of relationships are even better. I'll see you next week.
Well, Bernie's going to wake up on Staten Island tomorrow. You notice, by the way, that, and we'll get to all these phone calls, I do it geographically correct. And the reason why I do that, on Staten Island, on Long Island, on the train, is because of Jerry Seinfeld. Because I saw him shtick live down at the Hollywood, at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, and he does a whole shtick.
What's the deal with in Long Island?
But he's right about that.
He is right.
He's speaking of geographically, he's grammatically correct.
You'll never hear me say in Long Island, in Staten Island.
No.
I always say it the right way because of Jerry Seinfeld.
You're on the island. You're in Brooklyn.
Right.
But you're on an island.
Right.
But you do say me and Bernie all the time instead of Bernie and I.
I do that, yeah.
You do.
He's the piss off Imus. So annoying. God. Here is Louis in Brooklyn. He's online too.
Professor Imus.
Good morning, Louis.
What's up? How you doing, guys?
Hey, good. How are you, Louis?
Three quick points. Thank you, one, for letting me get through. But one, I love that this happened because 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, they voted for this. They voted for these people. Two, you're telling me Schumer, Cuomo, and this dingbat Acosta, whatever, they had no idea this was going on with these incentives? And three, perfect example of failed, there's no investigative journalism. None. So you're telling me nobody had no knowledge of this?
You make a fantastic point, Lou, the fact that during the campaign, nobody brought this up. Nobody knew. I mean, of course they knew. There were 20-some-odd cities were being courted. So, I mean, it wasn't top secret. It wasn't classified. They had to know. And if they were that angry about it, they should have brought it up. But where was Cynthia Nixon bringing this type of stuff up?
Oh, come on. Really, this was not going to make or break. A lot of people think it's a good thing for Andrew Cuomo.
But the outrage is...
It's located in that neighborhood. That's it.
It rings hollow. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, it's not her district.
Right.
But she's angry, and she should have said something before the election. She should have said something while he was negotiating. Cuomo was negotiating this stuff.
Can I be honest with you?
When it made a difference.
She's in Queens, Ocasio-Cortez, right?
That's right.
And a lot of and Jimmy Von Bramer is a council person in that district, right?
She's not in that district.
I understand, but she's in Queens.
Yes, she is.
You do realize that in Brooklyn and in Bronx, and they don't care. This is not a major thing where you're gonna use this against a politician or for a politician. This is basically the people in Long Island City who are bothered because the trains and streets are going to be tough. No one even understands all the taxes and the numbers. No one's even read this deal. No one. No one has any idea what that means. It's a bunch of fake outrage. It's just people who live in that neighborhood who are like going to be inconvenienced now. You in Long Beach, you don't care. You're not going to vote for Cuomo, or for that matter, going to vote for Cuomo. So no, his call wasn't great.
It's not.
Nobody cares about it.
It's not really going to affect
me.
But theoretically.
Oh, stop with the theoretics.
George, listen, I made this point yesterday. George from Brooklyn, not to steal your thunder, but you go ahead, George from Brooklyn. Tell us what you think.
Hey, Bernie, I'm going to have to disagree with you because we're not actually giving Amazon nothing. The $3 billion abatement they're getting for building there, you got to keep in mind, it's going to put a lot of construction workers to work also.
That's right.
This, the $3 billion is an estimate of the tax assessment after this tremendous complex is made. That's what the intake will be from the state and the city on taxes. So right now, you've got two city buildings there and two other buildings they bought that's not really bringing in nothing to this city and no jobs. Once this thing is done, it's going to be a tax intake for the city after the 15 years. So it's a net gain. It's like
George,
capitalism at work.
That's a very good point. And if you recall, Sidney, when we spoke to Jimmy Von Bramer, the city councilman, yesterday, I said to him, I said, look, let's say it costs us from $2 to $3 billion in tax breaks and abatements or whatever it is. I said, projections are over 10 years, we're going to take in.
Correct.
$4 billion in taxes. Over 10 years, that's a net gain of over $1 billion in taxes.
It's pretty good.
That is what I said yesterday.
Yeah, but you changed your mind already.
Because
I haven't. Because you're listening to this nonsense.
Yeah, listen, the way they went about it, secrecy.
That's different.
That's what I'm talking about.
But the deal's a good deal, and I really don't care about these people.
But they
could have got crowded trains.
They could have got a better deal instead of giving away the store. Amazon was going to come to New York City. They weren't going to freaking Detroit. They weren't going anywhere else. They wanted to come to New York and Washington D.C. The media and the political power centers of the nation. That's what they ended up doing, and they suckered a couple of stooges named Cuomo and de Blasio into getting. To giving away the store in order to get them to come to a place where they were going to come anyway.
So it's not a good deal.
Well, it could have been a lot better.
It could have been better.
Right.
But it's a good deal.
Not necessarily.
No.
I mean, if they're going to block off the waterfront for the locals.
Who cares?
The locals.
Then move.
People in Queensbridge projects.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Like, you really care about them.
Listen, man.
I know you lived in the projects 40 years
That's
ago.
That's right. I relate
blah,
to
blah,
people
blah.
In the projects.
Sure.
I'm for the downtrodden.
Right. You think about them when you're taking your strolls on the boardwalk in Long Beach paying your $16,000 property taxes?
I don't really think about it every day, but I will be today when I'm out there with my pussy hat and my bandana.
Well, maybe tonight when we graciously accept the Jack Newfield Award from Brian Kenny and Teddy Atlas on Staten Island tonight. Maybe you can say something nice about the poor folks in Queensbridge houses. Maybe thank them for making all this possible for you.
I could do that.
Right.
But I don't know if I'm going to.
No, because you're not sincere. You don't care.
I do care.
It's a good deal.
I'm trying to come to... I love Amazon, but I hate it.
All right.
I'm conflicted. Can I be conflicted?
Absolutely.
I mean, I hate to see all these empty storefronts and for sale signs out in these windows.
They're not going to be
like
that.
These shops are closed up.
Amazon's going to open up all that stuff.
Well, I mean, just in general, in the city, everywhere, sure. In everybody's town, you see these shops closing up.
Well, how many nail places
because
do you
Because of Amazon.
Need? How many nail places?
Not nails. It's
hardware
retail
stores.
Shops.
Oh, God.
Yes.
You know, I got 19 hardware stores on the Upper West Side. Every other block's a damn hardware
store. Say goodbye.
Store.
Take pictures because...
They're leaving?
They're going the way of the transistor radio and the hula hoops.
All right. We got four great guests, more of your phone calls, and God, if we're not the most sensitive guys in this city, I don't know who are. We're coming right back. Hour number two of the Bernie and Sid Show on this November day. The big day for Bernie and Sid. We get the big award later on tonight. I know tonight, by the way, is also the National Radio Hall of Fame dinner. Some of our very own folks here, including Joan Hamburg, about to enter the hallowed halls of the Radio Hall of Fame. Also tonight...
Deservedly, Joan Hamburg.
In a big way. So I believe Jim Kerr goes in today, too. Yes. Our friend, the rock and roll guy, right?
Yep. And Mike and Mike, Mike Golic and Mike Greenberg.
Not what I don't get.
Yeah.
But good guys. ESPN, but Hall of Famers, my God.
I don't know, yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to share the audience tonight, me and Bernie on Staten Island, the annual Teddy Atlas Foundation dinner, and we'll be given tonight.
And our own great Mark Levin.
Mark Levin, thank you. Yes,
that.
Mark Levin. We'll be given the Jack Newfield Award tonight, so that's a big,
yes,
big deal.
We will.
We did discuss our number one, Jacob DeGrom, winning the Cy Young for the Mets, becoming the fourth New York Met pitcher ever, joining Tom Seaver, Dwight Gooden, and R.A. Dickey. Did a lot on Amazon's move to Long Island City. Do want to get to Michael Avenatti here, and we've got Bill O'Reilly coming up at 8 o'clock, but first, do want to send out a happy birthday shout-out. If you listen to Sid Sports Sunday, every Sunday, 9 to 11, show is doing great, great guests. We've got some features we do every week. Brandon Lee, for example, she does our fantasy sports every Sunday. And Danny Bianculo, Danny B, dbwins.com, he makes the picks. He went 4-1, by the way, on Sunday. And today his lovely wife, Jamie, is celebrating a birthday, so happy birthday to Jamie Bianculo.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
Who does come here on Sundays many times. Her, Danny, and her two sons.
Very sweet.
They come and hang out. So happy birthday to Jamie. Let's get to Avenatti. Here's a guy that's been all over the place, a champion for women's rights. He is, of course, defending Stormy Daniels. He's on The View all the time. He's talked about running for president. And then what happened last night was about as predictable, Bernie, as Jacob DeGrom winning the Cy Young.
You think it was that predictable?
Were you shocked to hear it?
Well, I was kind of surprised that he actually, you know, gave a woman a black eye, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. I'm not.
Well, but I mean, I'm not. Look, stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
But it was kind of out of left field that
he's a scumbag.
Well, I know that. Believe me. I don't like it.
Possible.
Well, it's possible, but yeah. I mean, it's just odd. I know who's breathing a sigh of relief this morning is Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and Bernie Sanders. The field is now clear for them to get in,
right,
to jump in on the 2020 race. But what happened was apparently she was there Tuesday night, and that's when this altercation occurred. He threw her out of the house.
They messed it up. They said originally it was his estranged wife,
right?
But it wasn't
her. Nope. It was some woman. Who knows what happened? Maybe he caught her watching Fox News in the house or something. And anyway, he kicked her out and hurt her. She came back the next day wearing sunglasses at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, wanting to get her stuff.
Yeah.
And that's when he happened by, and the cops, the security guys grabbed him, and they separated him from the lady. And he was screaming, "She hit me first! She hit me first!" Allegedly. That's what the TMZ is reporting.
Hey, by the way, if a woman hits you first, as a guy, that still does not give you the right to slug her. If a woman hits you first, you run out the door before you touch her. Literally, just run out the door.
And then,
you moron.
But he said later that he didn't hit her at all.
Right.
Then he changed up his defense from "she hit me first"
right,
to "I never hit a woman." So,
right. But how'd you get the black eye?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, here he is. Here is Michael Avenatti.
She got it from him, let's face it.
Of course. Here he is talking about all of the things Bernie just talked about just yesterday.
First of all, I want to thank the hardworking men and women of the LAPD for their professionalism
and their work today.
Thank
the LAPD.
They had no option in light of the allegation. I have never struck a woman. I never will strike a woman. I have been an advocate for women's rights my entire career.
So was
OJ. I'm
going
to continue to be an advocate.
Right.
I am not going to be intimidated from stopping what I am doing.
What are you doing? What are you doing? So, you parade yourself around like a whore defending a bunch of whores. And now you smack some woman across the face.
No, but now you hear this now? The last comment, he's a victim. He won't be intimidated. This is a political move to try to get him to shut up. That's what he's stating in that last claim, which is patently stupid and ridiculous. But he did say this once during the Kavanaugh hearings, and this, of course, is the irony of the whole thing, is he didn't afford to Brett Kavanaugh any due process, false accusations left, right, and center, but he did say this.
All of these women cannot be lying. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah. Wow. What about yours?
That's right. What about yours?
She can't be lying, according to him.
Bitch. The guy evokes a visceral hatred.
He's disgusting.
In me.
Who's a bigger creep now, him or Michael Cohen? Kind of go back and forth with this. Now, well, Cohen may have broken some laws, but never slugged a woman.
Oh, well, you got to say, Mike, he's worse.
Avenatti,
The question I would ask, to women, this is a question to women.
Okay.
Is which is worse to a woman if you're in a relationship? Is the guy cheating on you or the guy beats you up?
Beating you.
It is, right?
Of course.
Okay, I'm just asking. I know it's not a very 21st century woke question.
You're getting hurt.
I am guilty of neither. I'm just asking.
There'll be some that say if he physically strikes you, which of course is grounds for divorce, you leave him. But if you stick around, that bruise will go away. When someone's cheating on you and they break your heart, that never goes away. If he does it once,
so
for example,
you're saying that maybe what Jill is saying is not entirely accurate.
Of course, it's not accurate. If he hits you once, now if he's a serial batterer like O.J. Simpson, that's a different story.
Oh.
I'm not making an excuse for the guy. You hit the lady once, she should leave. She should leave right away. But that bruise is going to go away in a couple of days if he hits you once. You cheat on the lady, you break her heart forever.
Interesting.
That never goes away.
1-800
that never goes away.
848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Well, he joins the ranks, does really low-life scum.
I would rather be cheated on, I'm just saying.
Michael Avenatti.
Because
he joins the ranks of Chris Brown, the likes of guys like that. Who you see the...
Now, Chris Brown, by the way, is a serial batterer.
And Bobby Brown. And
serial batterer.
Ray Rice.
James Brown. A lot of Browns.
As far as we know, Ray Rice only did it once.
Okay.
Ugly.
Okay.
Elevator. We got the video, but
Nick
we
Carter
don't have
from
Nick
the
Carter,
Backstreet Boys. He beat up Paris Hilton.
Once, right?
That's right.
OJ, of course, time after time.
And Eminem. And they were all still kind of lingering. They were all around. James Brown is still revered.
James Brown's dead.
I know, but he's still revered.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
And then this one.
Oh, people like Jerry Lee Lewis.
No, how about Sean Connery? This, I don't know if you ever... he gave an interview to Playboy in 1965, and then I have a follow-up on it. I know you're going to say this is 1965, but this is what he told Playboy magazine about hitting women. He says, quote, "I don't think there's anything particularly wrong about hitting a woman, although I don't recommend doing it in the same way you'd hit a man. An open-handed slap is justified if all other alternatives fail, and there has been plenty of warning. If a woman is a bitch or hysterical or bloody-minded continually, then I do it." That's what he said.
Suck on it, Trebek.
Jeez. That's what he said in 1960. And then he doubled down on it with Barbara Walters in the mid-1980s. Sean Connery, he says, "I haven't changed my opinion. No, not at all. I don't think it's bad, and I think it depends entirely on the circumstances."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you can believe that. And he goes on. I won't even read it because it's... it's just
Sean Connery,
James Bond.
All right,
James
Bond. One quick call agrees with Jilly. Marie is in Smithtown on Long Island, line 3. Good morning, Marie.
Hey guys, I love your show. I've been cheated on, and I've been hit
by the same guy.
I say getting hit is worse. Because after he hit me the first time, he promised he'd never do it again, and he hit me again.
See, but you're not listening to what I just said to her. If it happens once, if he's a serial batterer and he keeps hitting you, that's different. The question is, if a guy hits you once, which again you should leave, But if he hits you once, that bruise is going to go away in 2 or 3 days. He cheats on you, that stays with you forever.
The violence traumatizes you as well.
Well, that's true.
And that doesn't go away.
It also depends on how bad it is. I mean, Sean Connery says, a little pushing.
If a guy has the proclivity to hit a woman once, he's going to have that same proclivity to do it again.
Probably true, yes.
The same disposition, predisposition, I would say.
Either way, we're splitting hairs here. Whether you hit a woman or cheat on a woman, you're a scumbag. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. We got a lot of great guests. Plus your phone calls on all of this. Bernie and Sid on a Thursday rolls on right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news.
I'm Juliette, and I, for one, could not be happier that the greatest boy band ever, the Backstreet Boys, are not only back together, but they're about to head on a world tour. More on that in just a second. But first, amid all of this exciting news about them, there's a little behind-the-scenes drama. People magazine reporting AJ McLean has had some addiction setbacks this year. In fact, the 40-year-old opens up to the magazine saying sobriety is a big struggle for him. He has no shame in admitting that. He says he has relapsed over the past year, but says his wife and two little girls are helping him stay on track. And like I said, the boys just announced their world tour. They're wrapping up their residency in Vegas this month, and then they hit the road starting December 14th when they actually play right up north at, yes, I mean, I'm excited too. At the Mohegan Sun Casino up there in Uncasville, Connecticut. I'm guessing lots of celebrities will be on hand for those shows, including perhaps Kanye West and Mark Zuckerberg, maybe even sharing a box together. Yeezy posted a picture yesterday of him doing karaoke to the Backstreet Boys song I Want It That Way, one of my top 10. Alongside, by the way, the Facebook guru who was also apparently singing along. Not sure when the duet happened, but social media erupted. And again, speaking of that tour, if you can't make the Mohegan show, they will be heading to Europe first, and then once they wrap that up, they'll be back here in our area, hitting Barclays Center on August 15th and the Prudential Center on September 15th. I will see you at the Barclays and the Prudential Center. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Happens to be my favorite rock and roll song ever. Dream On by Aerosmith.
Ever, huh?
Ever. 7:30 on your Thursday morning. The snow is coming down hard outside the White House in Washington, D.C. We're going to get it in a few hours. It's obviously moving north. But right outside the White House right now, it looks like a winter wonderland. Snowvember is here in New York City.
On November 15th.
Yeah. And we got to travel. Well, I don't really have to travel. I'm getting a car, but... I'll be on the road just like you will be tonight.
That's right.
So the question for you, Bernie, is this. We're going to win this award, the very coveted Jack Newfield Award. Brian Kenny and Bob Papa will give us the award on behalf of Teddy Atlas in front of a star-studded cast and about 1,000 people. And
I'm getting nervous.
You should be. They're going to introduce us. We stand outside. It's a beautiful room. Tables are all set up, a large dais. Where yeah. all of the celebrities sit. And then we stay outside the door, and one by one, Papa and Kenny announce all the celebrities. So, and then eventually, after Teddy does great stuff, they show videos, they make speeches. Last year, for example, he'll be back again this year, the police commissioner, Jimmy O'Neill.
My man.
He said a couple of things.
James, I love him.
Big Jim. And then you and I will get the award. And my question to you is, are you prepared, or will you be prepared, to say something, some type of appreciation for this
honor. If I'm expected to speak.
Well, I don't know if you are. I have no idea.
Don't get nervous.
Well, then I don't have anything prepared.
But you're going to.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say thank you. I'll think of something
but
in my head.
But you've got to write something down.
No, I'm not going to write anything down.
Because I've noticed this. Every time me and Bernie, or Bernie and I, go on Bill O'Reilly's show, and Bill O'Reilly will join us, by the way, in 25 minutes. It's always great. I'm just going to say this at the risk of sounding brash and arrogant. Bernie and I on radio have already proven how good we are. We're also great together on TV. Great.
That's right.
But we come differently. Bernie walks in. He's got...
Excuse me?
What?
What?
Who said that?
You're right. I should kind of rephrase that. Bernie walks into the Newsmax building with notes. He's got notes and notes and notes and notes.
I have talking points.
Right. And I have my phone. I got nothing.
It's the same thing.
I got nothing.
No, you come on. You get talking points on your phone.
No, I don't.
He gets texts.
I got nothing.
And by the way,
no, I'm sitting there actually tweeting pictures and, of me, you, and Bill.
And Sid, he talks to me,
right?
And he absorbs what I have to say into his own talking point. And he sits there and looks at my notes.
Never.
Oh, he steals.
Never do that. I never do it. I really don't. Even on a regular morning, most of my stuff here in front of me are what Jill prints out, which is the Wikipedia stuff and live reads. And I have, this is my notes for today. You can take a look at it. There it is.
Yeah.
Which says, Avenatti, DeGrom, Rangers Islanders, Notre Dame Syracuse, Amazon protest, Teddy Atlas night. That's it.
That's good.
That's not good or bad. It's just we have a different approach. So, like, tonight you're going to come with pages and pages.
Absolutely.
I want to thank Donald Trump. I want to thank Don Imus.
No, a couple of one-liners.
Yeah.
A big thank you, and I'm out.
What do you mean one-liner? You're going to make fun of people?
I mean, look, you got to do some humor.
You're going to take shots at Phil Sims?
I didn't say I was going to roast anybody.
No.
Although I might.
Well, what's a one-liner?
I don't know. I'm going to think about it on my way out to Staten Island.
Don't talk bad about Max Kellerman. Tonight's not the
place. It's not going to be any mean-spirited stuff.
All right. But what are you going to do?
It's not that kind of night.
You're gonna say to Jimmy, right there on stage, we called you Little Balls Jimmy O'Neill?
Why did you just say that?
I'm going to tell him again tonight.
I just said he's my man. I love him.
No, you don't.
But back then when he prejudged the little police shooting,
yeah.
I was a little angry,
okay.
Along with the rank and file.
Sure.
And I expressed my opinions, but I still like Jimmy O'Neill.
No, you don't.
You didn't have to regurgitate that old insult.
What, Little Balls?
The balls are not for him to touch.
I'll ask you this. If it came down to you having to thank three people for...
Wait, let me ask you this.
What?
Hold on a second.
All right.
Are you going to give a speech? I mean, nobody's given me an itinerary, you know, a list of who's going to be. I have got squat from anybody.
What do you think I have? I got the same thing.
I don't know.
Thought.
You keep telling me he's going to be there, he's going to be there, he's going to be there.
Bernie, you were on the website yesterday. You saw the damn guests. You were right there.
That was the first time. Nobody sent it to me.
Well, nobody sent it to me either.
All right. Well, then I don't know what's expected of me.
Well, listen, the truth is that, yes, I'm the guy that's been there three times. I'm the guy that talks to Teddy Atlas and Dennis Hamill on the side. So, yes, there has been more, if you want, communication between me and these guys, and that's part of the reason why we won this. So, yes, there has been that. But I don't know much more than you do other than I've been there a couple of times.
So my question is, are you going to give a speech? Do you have remarks planned?
It's up to you.
It's up to me?
Yes.
What? Is it up to me?
Well, I'm not going to go up there and talk if you're going to just kind of walk up there and wave to the crowd and, you know, down to Foster's and walk off the stage.
Well, you should.
We're looking at each other like, what the hell is this?
Thank you, Levin. He's going to be honored tonight at the Hall of Fame as it is.
Yay.
We should both say something.
Of course.
But keep it short.
Brevity is the soul of any good speech.
Who are the three people you're going to thank tonight? You got to thank three.
I got to thank
and
people.
You got to exclude Jesus and Carol.
I got to thank.
Not with the Jesus stuff. My God.
Well, why do I have to thank anybody?
Well, you got to thank because you
want
to
thank Teddy Atlas.
There's one. That's
I'm going to thank, and I'm going to say. Do you even know who Jack Newfield was?
Who me?
Yeah, you.
Of course I do. He's one of the great journalists in the history of the business.
For what?
He used to write for the Village Voice and the New York Post.
Why was he great?
Because he was an activist and he stuck up for the little guys.
That's okay. Very good.
Right. You're testing me on the award that I just won?
I'm going to thank Jack Newfield.
He's dead. He can't appreciate it.
Nice words about Jack Newfield.
He's not going to be there. He's
dead. It doesn't matter. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. How about thanking somebody who's there tonight who's alive?
Oh, hey, Stephen Kellerman. Or Stephen A. Smith, excuse me. Thank you for being here tonight. What am I going to thank him for? What am I going to thank Rosie Perez about? I mean,
she's not coming. You got to thank Teddy Atlas.
That I will acknowledge.
Damn it, it's about time.
You got to thank me. Part of the reason why you're great is because we're great together.
Okay, thank you. Now you're helping me out. Hold on, let me write this down.
Write it down. You got it. Well, thank me first, actually.
That was the main point of this. He wanted to make sure you thanked him. Guaranteed.
You're
yes.
like the worst person ever.
And by the way,
yeah.
Vice versa.
What do you mean?
You thank Bernie.
Absolutely.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that. That's... What do you mean?
What happened?
I have a great
idea.
We're
going to thank people. That's what we're going to do.
This is what you should do. Play this segment.
What about thanking Chad Lopez? If not for him, we never would have been together.
I put down a list of people you can thank.
You may as well
thank
Mike Lupica. He's such a crappy radio host. We got the job.
But let me tell you something. You get up there. You're supposed to be a wacky duo in the morning.
No, we're not.
They expect you to be a somewhat humorous.
That's not true. We talk very serious stuff. We talk about elections
and wife beating.
We do that, yes. That was unfortunate. That wasn't our fault. It was Avenatti.
Yes.
Well, by the way, was invited, but he can't make it now.
No, he's not going to. He's not going to be there. Even though he's out on $50,000, you know, it's a serious felony domestic assault.
Sure is.
$50,000 bail. Yeah. That's not misdemeanor assault.
Right.
But anyway, so we're going to thank people.
So we got three. What about de Blasio? But,
well, I'm going to thank him for body slamming that groundhog.
You hated the groundhog, yeah.
On a Groundhog Day, his first year in office.
How about Andrew? You know, this show is on in their city. If not for Cuomo and de Blasio, we may not be on in New York City.
You know, I'm going to thank some of the most famous Staten Islanders ever.
Like who?
The Wu-Tang Clan.
They are from Staten Island.
I know that. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I did look up famous Staten Islanders.
Yeah.
There really aren't any.
Teddy Atlas.
That's right.
Mike Saul, who is a great bartender for Felix at the Frisco's.
Paul Castellano is about the most famous guy.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Joan Baez and Christina Aguilera were born there but didn't live there.
Lyle Wilpon, whose uncle Fred owns the Mets. Lyle went to Poly Prep with me.
See what I'm saying?
That's really not a very good list.
And the most famous guy to come out of Staten Island.
Who?
Ghostface Killer.
Oh, sure. Ghostface Killer.
I'll be thanking Ghostface tonight. Probably looking like him, too. Looking like a ghost face. As we walk out there, like, I don't know.
Don't be nervous. It's annoying if you get nervous.
Why would I be nervous?
Because it's a big deal. People are looking at you, and they expect you to be funny and smart. And just don't be nervous.
Now you're making him nervous.
No, you see, he's projecting. All of this is Sid's nerve.
Plus, he's got to wear a tie.
Let me tell you, when we go up to O'Reilly, he craps his pants.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I have a couple of notes. They tell you what we're going to talk about. So if you don't write something down, you're a fool.
Right.
So, you know, because you might forget it. You
I don't forget anything.
Great. Sure. And he walks
and
up
there. And I
haven't
crapped my pants in like 6 months.
Pants.
No, that was the beginning.
He's shaking like a leaf.
That was the beginning.
He's holding onto my leg.
No. That was.
And that's what this is all about. Sid being, I didn't have an iota of nerves.
Right.
And this conversation was cathartic for Sid to get his nerves.
No.
Out.
I'm telling you, you should be nervous.
I am not nervous.
There's 1,000 people staring at you tonight.
I'm not going to. Your mania, your anxiety, your neuroses, your insecurity is not infectious.
How many times before you and I get the award tonight, when we arrive on Staten Island, how many times before we get the award in that span will I ask you if, in fact, you're nervous?
About 150 times. And by the way, I'll be sucking down a few pops. So I'll be in good shape.
No, you can't get drunk.
I'm not going to get drunk.
Oh, God. Now you're going to get drunk.
I am not going to get drunk.
Guaranteed. See what he does?
I'm going to stand and drink tonic water all night long.
No.
It's supposed to be a party. We're going to have a good Dennis Hamill.
What a mess.
I'm already looking to go out after the party with Dennis Hamill.
What are you doing?
We're going to go to a strip joint on Highland Boulevard. Me and Dennis.
Power to the pussy, y'all.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Hey, this is Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street, and you're listening to Bernie and Sid. Why? I have no idea, but hey, you're doing it, so God bless you. Take care.
Oh, my God.
Somewhere, Bo Deedle is, like, really angry right now. Bo hates that guy.
Well, he's no better than Bernie Madoff, essentially, according to Bo, according to everybody.
Yeah. But the movie was good.
We had him on. We had his book in here. We treated him like a king.
Like a king.
Like, hey, it's good to meet you, man. The movie was fantastic.
Well, I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio did play him in the movie.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Deal.
So, I mean, who cares that he has old ladies eating dog food?
Whatever.
Leo DiCaprio played you in the cinema.
See what I'm saying?
What happened?
So, who? David Johansen, the great Buster Poindexter?
David Johansen, the song was Hot, Hot, Hot.
Yes, remember how big that song was?
Right. He was a Staten Island guy.
They used to do that song a lot of bar mitzvahs and weddings. They don't do it anymore, really, though. Everybody, hot, hot, hot. And they would make a big train. And throw their arms up in the air like
it was
fat
fun.
Old ladies in their stupid dresses.
Wedding
looked terrible.
Songs, yeah.
Alyssa Milano was born on Staten Island.
And she got laid on Staten Island at some point, I'm sure.
At some point. But she didn't grow up there. But you also have the Impractical Jokers, my boys.
Oh, those guys are awesome.
Oh, yes.
Sal, Brian, Joseph, James Murray, the guy who was on with us with his book.
Murr.
That show's funny.
That is funny.
So funny.
They went to Catholic school together over in Staten Island. And so there are some famous Staten Islanders. Take it easy.
Who else you got? Cornelius Vanderbilt.
Yes. Cornelius. Ed from Staten Island. Ed, good morning to you, Ed. Eddie. No, he's gone. All right.
Most famous man from Staten Island, born in Newdorf, and is currently in his mausoleum above Moravian Cemetery in Staten Island.
And that's Cornelius Vanderbilt, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I saw.
Also related to Cooper Anderson and Gloria Vanderbilt.
You mean Anderson
Cooper?
Cooper Anderson.
That guy, Coop. I got you. I know what you're saying.
One of the greats, Cooper Anderson.
Maybe he's dyslexic. Take it easy, guys.
Yeah.
Good day,
guys. Engaging in
still
hate
not
crime.
A great list. Still not a...
Well, Frank Morano's from Staten Island.
Oh, God. Jesus. Frank Morano.
Staten Island.
Could you imagine...
Dan Donovan.
That's true. Max, well, he lost to Max Rose.
Yeah.
Michael Grimm. Could you imagine measuring Staten Island's list to Brooklyn's?
Oh, everyone's from Brooklyn.
Everybody's from Brooklyn.
Barbra Streisand, Neil Diamond, Barry Manilow.
Oh, there's not. You're not even. You haven't even touched the tip of the. That's all musicians, by the way, singers.
We should be doing this tomorrow instead of today because we're going there tonight.
Tomorrow we're not going to be here.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We should do it post our Staten
Boys.
Island appearance. The Beastie Boys aren't from Staten Island.
They're not.
Brooklyn?
No, they're not from Staten Island.
No, Brooklyn, I meant.
Brooklyn, she meant. That's who you think of, the Beastie Boys? Like, some of the greatest actors ever, ever are from... We're not going to do this all day. Bill O'Reilly's coming up and talking about a great actor. Joe Mantegna's going to be here. Jackie the Joke Man Martling. Jacob deGrom won the Cy Young Award last night. Nobody happier than me and Bernie. And there are still people on the streets of Long Island City pissed off.
Damn right there are.
Get yourself together. Remember this song, Burn? We have Jilp on the street, but Jilpy couldn't do it, so we have Matt Meany on the street today.
That's right.
Uh-oh. Matt, what did you talk about with these unsuspecting New Yorkers?
Amazon moving to Long Island City, El Chapo in federal court down there in Brooklyn, and what was the last
Thanksgiving
one?
Day parade.
The Thanksgiving
that
Day parade funny. Floats.
A potpourri of topics.
Yes.
They should have a Mike Francesa float. I'm being completely serious.
Not a bad idea.
Be great.
Holding a free app.
No, it'd be really like life size. I mean,
another real good joke.
Thanks,
yeah.
Mike.
With a can of Coke in his hand.
Diet Coke, don't forget that.
Diet Coke, that's right. Forget about that. They should. Well, I think Meany's got some good suggestions from the peeps out there.
They do. They had some good suggestions, Bernard. Absolutely.
Meany's always good.
Oh, thank you.
And then we'll take all of your phone calls congratulating us on winning this award tonight.
Yes, thank you for that.
We really want you to do that. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Just tell us how great we are.
That's what we're looking for.
That's all we care about. And then we'll talk to Bill O'Reilly next. So grab a friend. Grab them around the waist, throw your right hand up in the air, and dance.
Feel it hot, hot, hot.
Take that ass.
Feel it hot, hot, hot. Oh,
no! Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Who told you that Bill O'Reilly loved Blue Oyster Cult? Who told you that? He does love Blue Oyster Cult, no question about it. By the way, that Notre Dame-Syracuse game from Yankee Stadium on Saturday, Bernard, comes your way at 2:30 in the afternoon at NBC.
I think I can wake up by that time.
By 2:30, you should
be
awake. Yeah. It is a Thursday morning, and while we have a bunch of rotating guests every week, but nobody bigger and better than this guy, Bernie, a man that, employed you. For about 5 years every Tuesday night.
Big Bad Bill, the king of all media. Big Bill O'Reilly, whose book, Killing the SS, is still number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Actually debuted at number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And he's over there at BillO'Reilly.com just slaughtering it with great interviews, great opinions, the columns, messages of the day. BillO'Reilly.com, and he's joining us right now. The aforementioned Mr. O'Reilly. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me in.
Always great to have you. And, of course, we must start with the most important news of the day. No, it's not Florida or some lawyer. The most important news of the day, and we know this because you, Bill O'Reilly, an admitted diehard New York Met fan, did you jump up and down last night on Long Island when you found out that Jacob deGrom had won the Cy Young?
What a good guy he is, number one. Know him a little bit, and a really good guy. Number two... It wasn't close. I mean, the man was almost a miracle out there because the team just never hit for him. And, you know, psychologically, you go, but never. He's so disciplined, and I'm real happy that he won the award.
at BillO'Reilly.com, Big Ben. And we're thrilled as well. I mean, we're both diehard Met fans, and we love the guy. I think he's a nice guy, and he should have won.
He's a good guy.
He won under some difficult circumstances this year, making it all the sweeter for us right now. But, Bill, listen, your message of the day at BillO'Reilly.com, it involved cable ratings. And then I want to transition into this Jim Acosta lawsuit and the attacks on some of the press members, for example, Tucker Carlson's house. Your thoughts on all of that stuff, Bill O'Reilly.
All right, well, you know, it's people are getting tired of the hate, you know, and if you step back for a minute and you look at what's happened in the news industry, it's basically a fraud because it was set up by the founding fathers to get information to people. All right, so Jefferson and Madison and Franklin and these guys, look, you know, we have to have an apparatus where people really know about us, because we could get power and lie and cheat and turn this country into something it shouldn't be. So we have to have somebody out there or an apparatus out there to tell the folks really what's going on. All right, so that's what the press is supposed to be. But in the age of Trump, it has turned into a reality show farce. And the reality show is, can we destroy the Trump administration? Can we do it? Tune in tonight for the latest installment of how we're going to try to do this. That's what it's been. And then on the other side, there's the Fox Network that says, we're going to try to stop the destruction. So if you don't want it destroyed, you watch us. If you do, you watch MSNBC and CNN. And the networks basically participate to a lesser extent in this, let's get the Trump administration. So that's what it's been. That's what it is. The whole industry in America, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's become really impossible.
Right.
It really
so
is.
People are tired of the reality show now.
Yep.
They're tired of it.
I'm actually tired of all of it, both sides. But I will ask you this, Bill. Above and beyond the reality show, we saw what happened down in Florida last week. I still own my home in Palm Beach County in Boca Raton. I voted there for many, many years. Forgetting about Palm Beach County, forgetting about Broward County, it's all about Brenda Snipes. And what we saw last week, Bill, in the big picture, quite frankly, is an attack on democracy. Forget about Florida. Forget about it. How huge is this in that, once again, they did not take the law into account during something that represents democracy?
Well, there's a remedy to this, though. And as soon as this happened, I said to my audience on BillO'Reilly.com, there's only one solution here. One. And that is to move the federal apparatus to the counties where there are allegations of fraud, misbehavior. The states can't police themselves. I mean, they just can't. They won't, and you can't get accurate information. Now, the good news is, yesterday it came across late in the afternoon that that's exactly what happened, that the federal government moved people in, and I assume the FBI as well, all right, to oversee the chaos in Florida and in Georgia. So they're watching it now. They're there. It's the only thing that's going to stop it. The only thing. And it'll have to play out. I don't expect the election in those three states to be overturned. I don't expect that to happen. And I do expect the federal government to do its job and to monitor what happens in these elections.
Yeah, but it's also interesting, too, Bill, in both states, one, the Brenda Snipes lady, I mean, any criticism of her is deemed a racist. And the attacks, I mean, the fact that the lady in Georgia who ran, Stacey Abrams, I mean, that was essentially a racist setup by the government, the Attorney General of Georgia, who is now the governor-elect. I mean, the fact that they inject this racism into all of these debates, it poisons the whole conversation.
But that's been going on now for, you know, since Barack Obama was elected.
That's true. That's true.
You know, so now we're into 10 years of, well, if you don't like a person of color's attitude, you're racist. You know, you guys will harken back to when I made a foolish mistake when I was promoting Killing England, the book before Killing the SS. I went on Fox and Friends, and they were talking about Maxine Waters, okay? And, you know, with a, I have not a big fan of Maxine Waters. I mean, I know her pretty well and how she's conducted herself. So I said, you know, the thing that bothers me the most about Congresswoman Waters is that her wig looks like James Brown's hair.
Right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes.
Okay. Now, I thought that was a, you know, fairly, and then actually some people have put up the two pictures and it was exactly the same. Exactly. Right. But I got hell. I mean, I really got hell. And I said to myself, you know, I did apologize because it was stupid. What I said was stupid. But it wasn't malicious, and I wasn't trying to denigrate her in any other. I was just kind of poking right. fun at her like I would do to you guys, right?
Yes, of course.
I would say, look at Sid. I mean, is there enough sun in the world to have that kind of a tan?
Exactly.
And, right? Okay. And then Sid just laughed, and everybody chuckled, if you know what Sid looks like. The guy is the most tan. Outside of George Hamilton, nobody can slow. Right?
No, he's
okay,
definitely.
So, right. It's a fool. And, but that's immature. I'm commenting on Sid's appearance. But it's done in jest. That's what I did to Congresswoman Waters. And I mean, they were hammering the cross on my front lawn. There were Romans on my front lawn with spears.
Yeah.
After I said that.
If they can make any hay out of anything like that, they will.
You just can't.
No. Yeah. They're
you
waiting
can
for
in
it.
This country.
But you did say something about Maxine Waters, and this came to light this week. This subpoena canon, Bill O'Reilly. Once again, check out his daily stuff. It's all great at BillO'Reilly.com. They said all the right things before the midterms. People like Nancy Pelosi, we're not interested in impeaching Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, once those midterms were over, now we're getting ready for a ton, nearly 100 claims against the president. And you can bet your last dollar they're going to try to impeach this guy.
You know, I think that Gerald Nadler, the congressman from New York, he's going to try something, but I think that Pelosi and Schumer are very wary about it because it's going to be a very tight race in 2020. It's going to be very tight if the economy continues to do okay. If the economy folds and the stock market folds, Trump is going to have a hard time winning. But if it doesn't, gonna be very light. If they do a stunt like that, a stunt, because Mueller is going to come back soon, in my opinion, and you heard it here first on the Bernie and Sid show, and he's not going to have anything. All right, maybe Roger Stone, who nobody knows, and may you know something like that.
He's got nothing.
He's going to come back, and he's going to you know, and then people are going to wait a minute. After almost 2 years. And $25 million of our tax money, and you come back, and this is what you have?
Like
nothing?
Like Geraldo's vault. That's what we're pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, so that's huge. That's huge. And now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll come back, and he'll be handcuffs all over the place. I don't think so. Because if you notice now, there are just leaks coming out of Mueller's office every day. Huge leaks. Huge. About stuff that nobody cares about. But, you know, there was an NBC report last week that 7 people told NBC blah, 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 blah. And it, can't, right. It had to come from Mueller's office. 7 people?
Yeah.
7? I mean, you know, I guess the phone line, you know, like, they must have had multiple phone lines. Oh, hey, anonymous source on line 6. It's the 5th one.
And it's really not just nothing there of substance. And finally, Bill O'Reilly. As a historian, a prolific author, of course, the inappropriate nature of that attack from President Macron at the commemoration of the end of World War I, in which we saved France's butt, pretty much, and then they did it again, over nationalism. I mean, briefly, if you can, opine on that attack and the nationalism issue.
Yeah, the president stole my line. My line from 20 years ago was, look, you guys, knock it off, because if it wasn't for us, you'd be speaking German. All right? Right. It'll be Deutsch fries, not French fries. All right, I'll have that Big Mac with the Deutsch fries, please. So Macron, he and all of them, every one of them, except for Merkel, who looks like she's on Prozac, does she not?
She looks a little out of place. Yeah.
Like Tyson sitting there with Barbara Walters.
Right. It's like Merkel looks like she is in some kind of alternative universe somewhere that none of us have ever entered. But anyway, Macron, all right, let's say it properly, Macron, he basically playing to his crew. He took that from Trump. He took it from Trump. Macron, if you look at Macron, he loves Trump. He just idolizes Trump because he can't believe that Trump's president and he's walking around doing what he's doing. And Macron steals all of Trump's stuff. And so he wanted to play to his crew, and his crew doesn't like Trump. You know, the French people. And he goes, well, you can't be a nationalist. No, of course not.
No.
And then, you know, Trump's basically the king of Morocco. He's racked out. Did you see him? The king of Morocco?
No,
he fell asleep.
Oh.
Yeah, and there's a great picture of him just like snoring.
Oh.
I was looking at him.
Oh, the old Mike Francesa move.
So he's asleep. And I'm going, does anybody care about this?
No.
You know, my grandfather was a war hero in World War One, and he was at Meuse Argonne and the Lost Battalion, and he never would talk about it. And he was in the middle of it where most of his crew was killed. And then he came back and joined the New York City Police Department. I have on my wall, I'm staring at it right now, his sheet. The NYPD gave me his sheet. 3/26/24, he was sworn in.
Wow.
And, you know, so World War One to me is real.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he wasn't killed or maimed in that conflict is a miracle.
That is a miracle.
But and I don't think anybody cares about Macron or what he does or anything like that.
We both agree. In fact, we pretty much did not do much with the story when it broke a couple of days ago.
You know, the New York Giants are more important than Macron at this point.
Agreed. Well, listen, as always, Bill, you're tremendous. We're very, very happy you're here now each and every Thursday. Everybody, check out all of his work on BillO'Reilly.com every single day. Like Bernie said, his messages, what he writes every day there, the videos, the TV shows. It's the best stuff. Still the best in the business, Bill. Still, thank you so much for hopping on with
guys,
us today.
I appreciate
thank
you having me on very
you
much.
You guys, take care. Bill
thank
O'Reilly. We'll take a short break. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. The great actor Joe Mantegna going to stop by. Comedian Jackie Martling. And yes, we want you to call us and congratulate us on our big award we're getting tonight because we're very, what's the word I'm looking for, Jill?
Needy of attention.
There you go. So call us. Tell us you love us.
I was never asleep. I promise you.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news.
I'm Juliette. Happy Friday light. Sharon Osbourne says she respects her former co-host on The Talk for standing by her man. But she says Julie Chen really could never have returned to the show given the sexual harassment allegations against her husband, former CBS chairman Les Moonves.
I don't know how she could come into a conversation and give an opinion that wasn't, well, you know, if she thinks her husband wasn't guilty, but this one's guilty.
But that's not all. Who knew? She also told SiriusXM's The Jim and Sam Show that Moonves liked women a bit more low-key than her. And when asked if she was ever attracted to Moonves, she said, F no. And then this.
I think he had bad breath, if I remember.
Oh, right? Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah, you could smell him coming. I think he had a bit of gingivitis, if I remember.
Oh.
Osbourne says she hasn't spoken to Chen since she left The Talk, and after this, she probably never will. And in the Rich Get Richer news, TMZ reporting J-Lo was over in the Middle East for a performance recently. Sources say she was in the Arab country of Qatar at the opening of a luxury mall. It was a 20-minute set. Quick Q&A session afterwards, for which she made a reported $2 million for 20 minutes, plus another million for expenses. And the cinematographer for the smash hit A Star Is Born has been arrested. Matthew Libatike is charged with assaulting first responders in Poland. He was there attending a film festival. The Associated Press reporting he was stumbling around. He was wasted, apparently. And when officials showed up at his hotel to help treat him, he started getting aggressive. He actually hit the lead paramedic in the head and broke another's tooth. And speaking of that movie, the movie's leading lady has been a hero to those affected by the wildfires out west. Lady Gaga delivering pizza and gift cards to a Red Cross center in Southern California, reportedly spending an hour hanging out and chatting with evacuees. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Nothing says peace like this song, right? I think you'd agree with that. Thanks again to Bill O'Reilly. It was great. But nothing says peace like this song, right?
I'm not sure. Where are you going with this?
Well, there was that song, The Peace Pipe.
You mean The Peace Train?
Peace Train?
By The Rascals.
Didn't Cat Stevens write a song?
Oh, it was Cat Stevens, not The Rascals.
Okay.
Wait a second. Joe, look it up, please.
But
Cat Stevens' Peace Train.
But isn't this the song that really... For you is his peace.
You. Not really. Not to me.
What's your peace song?
I'll go with Cat Stevens.
Okay.
Everybody Ride the Peace Train. I love that song.
I like that song too. All right, that's fine. Either way. So, we've received a complaint on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Joe, what did you say?
It wasn't Joe.
This time it wasn't me.
At the end of every program now, we close out the show, the Bernie and Sid show, and in unison, sometimes, we all scream,
oh, that.
Peace!
Right. But according to at least one listener, at least one, we don't do it together. It's not in unison. It's, you know, sometimes Matt comes in late or Bernie, you, whatever it is, I don't know.
I came in early, yeah.
Like you just came early, right?
Well, how about
nothing new for you.
Yeah. Hate when that happens.
So,
then what do we do?
Well, we got to practice.
Clean it up.
Oh, I mean for that, yes.
No, not yeah. Get some paper towels, I guess. We have to practice and make sure it's
we
good.
We have to talk. Go ahead.
Can I have a long talk?
Get out.
Like, if I count to three right now, do you think the four of us are capable of saying peace at the same time?
Let's try it.
I think we can handle it as adults.
All right, here we go. Okay. One, two... Three.
Peace.
Wait a second.
Are we doing an odd three?
You paused at the
no,
three.
Well, yeah, because I paused between one and two also.
All right, here. Let's do it this way.
Okay.
It's one, two, three, and when you would say four.
Right.
That's when we
but
all say peace.
How do we
peace.
Know when he's going to say four?
You just pace it out.
Well, yeah, Bernie, pace it.
One, two, three.
Peace.
Yeah, that was a little better.
Not still, the only one.
Still not the Rockettes.
No.
On that line with the legs.
This is what we do at the end of the show.
Here's what I'm thinking, too, by the way. I'm thinking every single day from one of our very faithful and loyal Bernie and Sid listeners, they call the last segment, whatever Chazara you and I are talking about, who cares? And then at the very end of the show. Huh?
What are you hucking up a Louis while you're speaking?
Chazarai. It's a Yiddish.
Chazarai.
So, what we'll do is.
This is my song.
We will allow, graciously, one faithful Bernie and Sid band every day at the end of the show to say peace with us.
But how can we trust they're going to say peace?
What do you think they're going to say?
F you.
Oh.
I mean, then we have to dump the whole segment.
You think they would do that, Bernie?
Not our listeners. No, they're good.
Nah,
they're good people.
Yeah, but now you gave them a stupid idea. Why don't you just go online today and write how to build a bomb?
I don't know how.
We're going to do it anyway. So, if you want to say peace with Bernie, Sid, Jill, and Matt at the end of the show, make sure you call the very last segment, and we'll see if we can put this whole thing together.
But it's so funny. We actually did get a complaint from somebody.
Yes, we did.
We don't say it in synchrony.
Who complains about that?
Right on the peace train.
This is a great song.
1-800-848-WABC.
We'll take a short break. We'll be right back. Holy roller. Everyone jump on the peace train. Come on, the peace train. Get your bags together. Go bring your good friends too. Cause it's getting nearer, and soon we'll be with you. Come and join the living. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Yeah.
me what you really like. Baby, I can take my time.
We now, one of you ungrateful son of a bitches has called in yet to congratulate me and Bernie on winning this amazing award tonight. Really one step below a Marconi, basically. And not one of you have called in to say, hey, you guys are the best, best morning show. Thank you. We thought we were going to miss Imus, but you guys are better. But nothing. And then you get mad at me when I get mad at the audience.
Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, look how big they've come up today.
Well, listen, we sent out that solicitation a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, like three times already.
We did a few things in the meantime.
Three times already.
So, look, Sydney and I were receiving this huge award tonight. The Teddy Atlas Foundation Dinner out in Staten Island. It's all sold out, been sold out for a long time. We are being awarded the Jack Newfield Award. He was a prominent muckraking journalist here in New York City. Village Voice, New York Post, Daily News. And it's a big honor for us. Big deal. We're humbled by it. And that's what's going on. I don't think people really
care.
We haven't talked about it much. We did an hour ago, an hour and a half ago or something.
No, they just don't care.
But leading up to it, we haven't spoken about it.
Wow. But well, we have to do something else now anyway.
People are out buying salt for the snow that's arriving. They're thinking about, hey, am I going to leave work early today because the snow's going to come at 1 o'clock? It's going to be horrendous.
Nobody's thinking about that.
People are thinking about dealing with the jackasses at their jobs. I mean, they don't have to call in to kiss our ass.
Yes, they do.
Let's go to Joe from North Babylon. Good morning, Joe.
Yeah.
Good morning, Bernard. Good morning, Sid. I'll kiss your backsides today for you, okay?
Yes!
My man.
Joe, coming up big.
Pucker up.
By the way, Sid, I want to thank you for the birthday shout-out on Sunday. A couple people I know heard it, so thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, I want to thank you. This is the great Joe Salamino, of course, for tweets every single day. And as you know, we do use some of the stuff that you do tweet us on the show, so you've been a very, very good resource for the Bernie and Sid show.
Yes, thank you. I didn't realize that this was you, Joe. Thank you for that, Joe. So thank you for the congratulations.
Well, Bernard, you know what? I've as Sid said on Sunday, you know, I've been a big supporter of the Imus program. I listened to him for 38 and a half years from my sophomore year of high school. I support you guys ever since you took over. Sid, you know what? We had some issues years ago. You're a Ranger fan. I'm an Islander fan.
Right.
I support you guys. I post on my Facebook page. I tweet out information to you guys.
Yes, you do.
Well, you're great. We love you, Joe. Thank you. By the way, Rangers Islanders tonight from the Barclays. So,
speaking of that.
But I'm not going to go ahead. Joe, thank you very much. Line 4 is Lee Babylon, Long Island. Good morning, Lee.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got to say, I've been listening to Imus. Oh, I guess 40-something years, and I thought it was great. You guys are just as good, if not a little bit better, I'll say that. You deserve the award, but I got to ask you one simple question. How big could it be if it's from Staten Island?
It's kind of a fair point.
That's,
yeah.
Well, listen, Lee, that's a little bit elitist of you. Staten Island, the forgotten borough.
It's Teddy Atlas.
Yeah,
it's big.
It's they're people. It's big. Teddy Atlas is loyal to his little home community, his island.
It does sound better, though, like if we're at the Marriott Marquis.
Well, you know? Look.
I'm just saying. I mean, just so the call
You know, he still attracts these luminaries, A-list celebrities.
So you're telling me. I've seen it. I can't believe it. Of all the events I've gone to in my life in 50 different states, I've never seen anything like what Teddy does tonight.
I mean, the caller's point is well taken, but it is a little snobbish.
It is very snobbish.
Just because, I mean, Staten Island is as valid and as nice a place, and everybody's people. I mean, just because it's not
a weird place, Staten Island, though. It's like you got to take a bridge, and there's a lot of mobsters there, and
it's a little
it's a weird place,
off the beaten path. Yeah, but it's New York City, though.
No, there are people.
Let's go to Ed from Staten Island. Good morning to you, Ed.
Eddie.
Yes, I want to congratulate both of you gentlemen, all right? But I just want you to thank the one person that made it all happen.
Who's that?
Jill.
Jill? You guys Jill.
I'm
funny.
Not going out with you.
Yeah, these guys are the best. They're like so... There's one guy online, he's like so gross. Anytime she does something, it's like, oh, there's a... What is that guy's name? He's a Democrat. He hates Bernie.
I don't know.
Oh, his name is Milton Lugo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so God, is he creepy. Here's a Patsy, our dear friend Patsy in New Jersey on line one.
Hello, Pats.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just wanted to say that you guys are my favorites going way back as far as you could think on the radio. And I was always a big fan of Imus, but I was always hoping that someday Bernard would be up there in lights just with you, Sid, and it's just fantastic. And congratulations. And I wish I could say peace at the end of the show, but I'll be in a meeting. And I just wanted to call in and say I love you guys. And
well, I'll tell you what, we have to run the break now anyway. And being that you're not just a great caller, but a dear friend, you can say peace, and then Matt Meany will take us to break. So congratulate us one more time. Emphasize the ending with peace, and then we'll go to break. You get your own peace. How about that?
That'd be fantastic.
Here we go. Go ahead, Pats.
All right, let's go.
All right, this is the first of many awards you guys are going to get in your lifetime, and God bless you. And all I can say is, peace.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and
Jill's playing this song not because she loves David Stiper, REM, because he mentions Lenny Bruce in this song, The End of the World as We Know It. You know, listen, you'll talk to people, comics today, about the greatest comedians of all time, and they'll always include Richard Pryor and Rodney Dangerfield and George Carlin and those types of folks. Even some people today, Chappelle, Lampanelli, whatever. But the guy that always gets brought up, always, and he's dead like five decades, is Lenny Bruce. He's still the go-to guy. He was the most politically incorrect. He didn't care. And to this day, he's still beloved, which is the inspiration behind a political play which toured all over the world. Basically, it was 100 times before it got here to New York City in early November. And the name of it is I'm Not a Comedian, .. I'm Lenny Bruce. And the star of this show is a Brooklyn kid, now lives in Los Angeles, but Brooklyn boy, Ronnie Marmo. You know him from Adults Only, Pizza with Bullets, For the Love of Money. And he's got some help from one of the biggest named actors on television and movies too, in Joe Mantegna. So you get these two Italians together doing a show about Lenny Bruce.
Hey.
And boom, look what you got here. This beautiful kid right here in studio, Ronnie Marmo.
Thank you. Two Italians make one Jewish guy. It's the same thing, right? Lenny said one of his great quotes is, even if you're Catholic, if you're from New York, you're Jewish.
You know what's funny about that?
That's a Lenny Bruce quote.
And I turn it around in that I'm Jewish, but because I'm from Brooklyn, I'm often...
No, you're Italian, kind of,
There you go.
No, you're like half Italian.
Look what he just said.
You're half Italian.
Oh, my God, Ronnie.
Oh, he's hugging me.
Ronnie, hold me.
You don't understand. He grew up wanting to be Italian in the worst way, in a serious way. What do they call him, Jew genes?
I'm so mad at my parents. My name is Sidney Rosenberg. I grew up in the John Travolta, Tony Manero era. I wanted to be Italian.
We have to put a vowel at the end of Rosenberg.
Right, Rosenberg-y.
Burgo, whatever.
You saying that, I seem to... you don't know what you just did to me.
No, that's okay.
I want to have sex with you.
Well, listen,
and I'm not gay.
You should have seen Sid just crawled on his feet to...
I don't know about sex, but I'll let you hold me. I'm lonely. It's cold. I'm freezing.
But listen, let's get to the meat and potatoes. The play is at the Cutting Room. It's called... I got it right here. Hold on a second. I'm Not a Comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce, as Sid just said, at the Cutting Room. And how many nights a week do you play over there?
We average six. The schedule is a little wonky because there's other things going on in the venue. We're not just the only thing in there. But we average six a week. You have to jump online and grab the tickets. But six a week. I did eight last week.
And it's not without controversy because Lenny Bruce, again, the play entitled I'm Not a Comedian, he was really a social critic and a satirist. I mean, he was poking fun or actually taking shots at society and things like that. So you say some things circa 1965, say, that wouldn't be said today.
Well, they're more sensitive today. In fact, what he did was hold a mirror up to society and say, listen, you know, everyone's so scared to tell the truth or at least look and examine things. That was his thing. Like, he wasn't making fun of religion or the church or anything. He just wanted to take a look at everything and talk about it.
Right.
And people, people had a problem with that. No, they were offended.
They had a problem. But now, much like a lot of people, They appreciate you more when you're dead. Like you, Ronnie, when you're dead, they're really going to love you.
Well, I died 5 years ago. Have you seen my resume? It's unbelievable.
No, you.
I had to write my own show.
You're doing great. You and your partner, who, of course, is a very recognizable, huge star, television shows, Criminal Minds, Without a Trace, tons of movies. And he's joining us live right now from Los Angeles, where, in fact, Ronnie does live. And that is the very talented Joe Mantegna. Good morning, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Good morning to you guys.
How are you?
Well, it's 6 o'clock in the morning here, so I'm meds.
But I understand. We start our show at 6 on the East Coast, so we really don't feel bad for you. Hey, listen, on a serious note, I was just telling Ronnie that all the brilliant work you've done, Godfather 3, all the great TV shows, all the movies. So many years ago, Joe, you did a show called The Last Don. Danny Aiello was in it, a few others. And at that time, Jason Gedrick was an up-and-comer. And my wife loved him. And she made me watch this show. And she liked you too, don't get me wrong. But because she loved Jason Gedrick. Do you remember that? The Last Don? That whole thing? Yeah.
I'm still very close to Jason. I mean, in fact, I directed an episode of Criminal Minds, I think it was last season. And I brought him in to be one of the guest stars on it. We've stayed close friends ever since. He played my son. He plays Crucifizio
and
to be very, very good friends. And he's a wonderful guy, a wonderful actor.
Now, you too, Ronnie, you're friends with Gedrick as well. But...
Well, I know him, but we're not pals like Joe and he.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's a small town.
So what exactly, how often you guys get together? What was the relationship here between you and Joe to get this play off the ground?
Well, Joe and I, I know Joe a long time, and we've worked together before, and then I wrote this and asked him to do it. And after a bit of time, we went back and forth, and of course, he wanted to, but it was kind of embarrassing. He said, well, why don't you just get up in front of me and just read the whole thing? I go, you want me to do the whole show for you right now? It's kind of embarrassing. Right. He said, yeah, just get up and do the whole thing. So we went into this little theater in L.A. that I own, and I got up and I did the whole friggin' show for Joe for 80 minutes. And then he goes, okay, if you could wait for my hiatus on Criminal Minds, I'll do it.
Wow.
And I'll let Joe talk about that because it was a little weird. But it was weird, Joe. I never told you. It was weird.
Take it from there, Joe.
Well, first of all, I thought it was – I'm a firm believer in the term, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. And so that's what I wanted to find out, just exactly, what we had here. And once I saw him do it, I felt the material was there, but I just felt that what it needed was kind of like no structure. Kind of like it was to me, it wasn't quite a play. It was more like all right, this is like this whole conglomeration of wonderful material, and he's doing a wonderful performance of it. But it didn't have that through line. It didn't tell the story, I felt, and so that was what we worked on. And so I would think that my main contribution was kind of like changing the structure of the thing. And one of the first kind of questions I said to him, I says, after watching and hearing what it was about, I says, how do you feel about opening the play naked on the stage?
Oh, my God.
I'm naked. I shouldn't tell you that because you make me nervous. He already wanted to have sex with me. Now I got to be careful.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't sit stage right, house right. That's all I want to say because then the mystery's over.
Because that, to me, I felt that this was the way he had done it originally. The way it started the play was he started it with actually one of Mummy's most controversial bits, and I thought to myself, you open the play with this, and the first thing is going to be a riot, and people are going to start throwing things, and that's not the point of I don't think people will then understand even the point you're trying to make. We have to tell the story, and then when I realized how the guy had died. And I was somewhat familiar with the Lenny anyway. I did the Julian Barry's play Lenny back in 1973. I understood the lead of Lenny. So, I mean, it's a whole different play, a whole different thing, but at least I knew the storyline of the man,
Right.
And so I said to that's when I thought to myself, I think the story needs to be told from the end, then take it to the beginning, and then back to the end. Let's make a big circle of it. And I think once Ronnie and I kind of embraced that idea, then all of it, the structure started to fall into place of rearranging things, telling the story in somewhat of a chronological order. Once we opened with kind of like the end, go back to the beginning, and then go
Joe
back.
Joe just wanted to see me naked. That's the truth.
Let's call it what it is, Joe.
Yes. Come on.
Actor Ronnie
Moore. I want to see hairy Italian guys.
Hey, I'm not that hairy for an Italian guy. It's not bad.
Actor Ronnie Marmo here with us on the phone. Actor Joe Mantegna. The play is I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lemony Bruce. He's gone 5 decades, guys, Joe and Ronnie, And I did read that what's compelling about this is what he said, the things he did, very similar to what we're seeing today in the Trump era. Quote, free speech once again under attack. Americans divided over race and religion and protesters crowding city streets and the halls of Congress. So I guess, Fonny and Joe, what we're saying is it may have been 60 years ago, but nothing's changed.
No, in fact, we've probably regressed in a lot of ways. I mean, it's crazy. Definitely. We're discussing things that I thought we were past, but I guess we're not. And it's really sad. You know, people leave their house today and they're just waiting to be offended. You know,
it's
literally it really like, is. Who's going to offend me? I mean, you offended me before by undressing me. Yes.
Hey, the world is one big college campus these days.
No, it's hard. You know, it's a scary thing because every night I get out there, I'm doing a few bits that Lenny did in the 60s, which were really shocking. But now I feel like they're almost more shocking. And I'm pretty scared to do them every night. But I'm like, well, if I'm going to do Lenny Bruce, I'm not playing Mickey Mouse. I'm playing Lenny Bruce.
You're doing Lenny
I got to honor the man.
He used the epithets to take their power away. So
well, that was the big thing.
That was the idea. And you stay true to Lenny Bruce, as you say, and people sometimes get up and, it's not without controversy.
There's one of his biggest bits was the N-word bit. And the idea was he was trying to pull up the meaning and the power, you know, he was trying to make it just a word.
Right.
And a lot of people agree and disagree. And so I've had a few people, young African-American people, walk out on me. And I've had a few stand up and give me a standing ovation during the bit.
Maybe it wasn't a good idea to invite the Knicks on the first night.
Yeah, maybe. No. you know who came opening night was Dick Gregory's son, Christian Gregory, the great Dick Gregory. He sat front row center. He's a big African American. Yeah. And so I'm doing the bit. I'm going, this guy's going to kill me after the show. I don't know who he is, you know?
He's
staring at me. I'm like, I am in so much trouble. And he was the first one to leap to his feet. And he, you know, we kissed and hugged.
No kidding.
Yeah, at the end, he gave me a standing ovation. We kissed and hugged, and we talked all about it afterwards. And
you were naked when you were kissing and hugging?
Well, I wasn't naked. I just had my top on. I didn't have my bottom on, my top.
You know what this reminds me of, Joe Montana? You could appreciate this. Here's Ronnie, who writes this great play, does a one-man play for 80 minutes, does it for you, you like it, now he's got a Broadway show. This reminds me of how A Bronx Tale was born. There was Chaz Palminteri. He wrote this many, many years ago. He does it in front of Robert De Niro. De Niro says, let's make this into a movie, and now he's done Broadway shows and one-man shows. And right, I mean, Joe, you may have a whole franchise here with Ronnie and Lenny Bruce.
Oh, yeah. Well, with Chaz, it even predates that, because I know Chaz very well, and Chaz, that whole Bronx Tale started as a 10-minute acting thing he did out here in L.A. in acting class. And he did it as a 10-minute thing, and the guy he was taking the class from said, you know, you want to expand that into a little bit of a play. And so I remember seeing that play out here in a small little theater, the same size theater like we did Lenny out here. And my dear friend Dan Lorio produced it out here. And that was even way before Chaz took it to New York and before De Niro even saw it. So, I mean, that it's a perfect similar kind of an evolution of taking an idea and expanding upon it. It's something you have a passion about and turning it into what it becomes.
So, yeah, if we end up with half the fate that show, you know, Chaz really, I mean, I'd be very, very blessed. We would love to see it go beyond, and I love telling
Sure, and that's my question is that
I
Lenny
just
Bruce...
don't think we'll make a musical out of this.
not a musical.
Oh, but, I could see that.
With dancers? That's hilarious. But look, Lenny Bruce, of course, still a revered figure and all that, but because of the nature of the material, the politically incorrect nature, I mean, it's going to be difficult to get it. They won't put it in a Broadway theater, probably because of that reason.
Who's they? You know,
I mean, that's
the key.
Yeah.
It depends who's got the money. I mean, I'm sure a little more than half this country would probably love to see it on Broadway.
Oh, sure.
On Broadway, you can put it there. You can put it there. People will go see it.
Well, let's see.
But, you know, what I got to say, though, I kind of like having it in the venue, you know, as it is. It's in almost like a nightclub kind of a venue.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about putting it in the kind of world that it's somewhat where Lenny existed.
True.
And so it's kind of like it's almost like a perfect off-Broadway kind of setting. If it's to try to find a Broadway house that has that same kind of intimacy and that same kind of a feel of a nightclub as much as it is a theater. I mean, I think we can make the translation if we needed to, but I'm kind of enjoying the fact that it's in Lenny's world. It's in the kind of
you feel like you're stepping back in the 60s.
Sure,
it's crazy.
I can imagine. Yeah. We just did a show from there about a month ago, but Lenny Bruce, he was actually arrested for obscenity. He went on trial. Was he convicted?
He was convicted and sentenced to 4 months on Rikers Island for his words.
No kidding.
And he passed away when he was out on appeal, so he never did the time. But it's crazy. In fact, I had an idea. I'd like to go up to Rikers and do the play for those guys. Kind of like, well, I think I'd probably leave on a stretcher.
I was going to say, yeah.
Are you available to come with me? I think you'll do well up there based on how you're talking to me. I'll leave it at that.
You know, you'll be surprised, Ronnie. They'll love you because a couple of times in movies, I've even had to convince the crews of this because I've had to work in prisons. I did this film, Weeds, with Nick Nolte. We shot in Stateville Penitentiary. And then recently we did a Criminal Minds episode about 6 years ago in San Quentin, up near San Francisco. And I remember the crew thinking, oh, my God, we're going to be in San Quentin. What if this? What if this? And I said, you know what? These guys watch a lot of TV. Trust me. They're going to be very happy.
No, they love it. And so that's interesting.
And they love it. I mean, it was like, I've got a picture of me standing with about 100 guys, each of them about 250 pounds.
And 10 of them were your cousin.
The world.
Your new tenant of Chicago.
We talk about that. But they make the best possible audience for stuff like that. I mean, they'll get it. They'll understand Lenny.
Sure, sure.
Well, listen, he was one of the greats. And, Joe, you're great. And, Ronnie, you're terrific. And we just met you, buddy.
Yeah.
What a terrific young actor. Funny, and you got everything going for you. So I got to think this thing is going to be a huge, huge smash. And who knows, musicals, movies, or who knows. But at the very least, go check it out at The Cutting Room. I'm not a comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce. Ronnie does, like, 10 shows a day. And why do you do so many shows a day? You need the money? What is it?
No, I do. Yeah, I'm broke. I need the money. But you guys should come see it. I mean, I know you're going to say yes, we're on the air, but, you really should come see it.
Definitely going to be there.
Why not?
Yeah.
Right? They're going to go, of course we're going to be there.
What night you want to see?
Maybe on a weekend.
Yeah,
we'll talk. I mean, maybe you should. Don't give him my phone number, whatever you're doing. I'm nervous.
Can you wait?
The audience gets naked night on Thursday.
No, and don't sit house right, especially you. I'm nervous.
I wanted to say you should wear tidy whiteies if we come because
no, I know,
or something like that.
No. In fact, I'm going to do the whole play. I'm going to just turn around and show everything.
Hey,
mystery's over. Listen, in the first 30 seconds.
You got to check it out, folks. I'm not a comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce at The Cutting Room. Ronnie Marmos in Lives with Bernie and Sid, and Joe Mantegna on the phone. We thank both of you and wish you the best of luck with the play.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
All right, awesome. Joe, take care. Joe Mantegna, Ronnie Marmo. Again, the play is, like Bernie just said, I'm not a comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce, and it's got to be great because, Ronnie, you're great. We'll take a short break. More of us right after this.
Tickets to incredible men's college basketball at the Never Forget Tribute Classic December 8th at the Prudential Center. See Clemson, Mississippi State, UConn, and Florida State. Visit prude-center.com/NFTC2018 to purchase tickets. Use code RADIO10 for 10% off. Win this Sunday on SID Sports Sunday, 9 to 11 a.m., 77 WABC. Flex to impress with Van Heusen's Flex Collection. With natural stretch fabric, a flexing waistband, or a collar that stretches up to half an inch, one thing is certain. Uncomfortable clothing just became history. Shop the collection now at Kohl's or JCPenney.
Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way.com. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the now national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. This book may not be for you, but if you're like most people, you'll be blown away when you learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. And as a bonus for hitting the bestsellers list, I've been gifted 250 copies from my publisher. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, I want to send you a copy of the national best-selling book. You can buy it on Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble or be among the first 250 people to reply. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776 to claim your free national best-selling book now. That's the word bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Just text the word bestseller to 49776.
Today is the day you will lose fat. Come see Dr. T at NJ Diet.
Easiest diet I've ever done. It's changed my life. Come see Dr. T.
Now with a new office in White Plains, New York. 1-855-5-NJ-DIET and NJDiet.com. Change your life in only 40 days with NJ Diet.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. MediShare.com or 844-91-BIBLE.
Curtis Sliwa here, and with me in the studio is Josh Jelinski, host of The Financial Quarterback,
which airs every Sunday morning from 11 to 12
on 77 WABC. You've got that book offer that you've made, Josh. What is the name of the book, and what is this book going to help our listeners with?
Well, there's Estate Planning Smarts, which is how to protect your money and how to give your money to the people you love and the causes you love. And if you don't care about that and you care about retirement planning, there's a 2015 Retirement Decisions Guide, fresh out by Ed Slott. It goes over 125 ways to save and stretch your wealth. It goes over annuities, social securities, IRA, 401ks, TSPs, life insurance, whatever financial question you have.
Securities offered through American Portfolios Financial Services Incorporated. Member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Wealth Quarterback. American Portfolios and Wealth Quarterback are unaffiliated entities. Investing may involve the risk of loss of capital.
This hour sponsored by AccountTemps. Payroll, bookkeeping, month-end. Are you feeling short-staffed? AccountTemps can provide accounting and finance professionals on a temporary or project basis when you need them to help with increased workloads. Call them today or visit AccountTemps.com. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company.
Check out the newest podcast from the Associated Press, Ground Game, hosted by AP's Megan Crane. A weekly conversation about the top political issues ahead of the upcoming midterm elections. Available on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Well, Sydney and I will be wearing our brand new Joseph Abboud suits tonight at the Teddy Atlas Foundation dinner when we get awarded our Jack Newfield Award. Joseph Abboud's Black Label flagship store is at 49th and Madison Avenue. It's a beautiful place. And I want to ask you this question, folks. Did you know that Joseph Abboud has been making his suits in America in the very same factory for over 30 years?
And that Joseph Abboud factory you're talking about, Bernie, in New Bedford, Massachusetts, is the largest in North America and employs over 800 highly skilled workers.
Wow. Did you know that there are over 250 individual steps in the making of every Joseph Abboud Black Label suit?
And that Joseph Abboud uses only the most luxurious fabrics from Italy's most prestigious mills.
That you can have your custom-made Joseph Abboud Black Label suit in only 2 weeks.
And that Joseph Abboud is one of America's most award-winning menswear designers.
Well, if you didn't know, now you know.
So get yourself over to the beautiful Joseph Abboud Black Label flagship store. It's gorgeous, right there on the corner of 49th and Madison. I'll be there today. And experience the exceptional quality, style, and service at its very best. Hey, folks, you know that normally good and bad bacteria live together in our intestines. A poor diet, drinking alcohol, prescription medication, and aging can throw off the balance. It affects immunity and metabolism. Taking Invite's chewable probiotic can help restore your good bacteria. Yes, even very healthy people can struggle with gassiness, bloating, and flatulence. That one didn't sound like it smelled that bad, did it?
It sounded wet.
Yeah, a little wet.
I don't like it.
No. Invite Chewable Probiotic can help by supporting digestion, regularity, and appetite control. It's non-GMO Chewable Probiotic supplies 330.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news.
Hello, I'm Juliet. Officials dropping it like it's hot on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Star, that is. Hip-hop legend Snoop Dogg is getting his own star on the famed sidewalk as part of the recording category. He also has his background music already, I have a feeling, recording a song with the Gorillaz this past June called Hollywood. Jimmy Kimmel will be doing the presenting. And MMA champ Conor McGregor is issuing a proper apology, not for beating the hell out of his colleagues at the Barclays Center, but for running out of his whiskey. It's called Proper Number 12. And apparently it sold out even though there was supposed to be a six-month supply. He says he usually doesn't see reason to apologize, but, you know, it's whiskey and all. He says a couple million bottles will be here in the U.S. and in Ireland by December, Bernard.
I apologize.
McGurk.
For nothing!
Nothing! That's you stupid American!
That's what he once said after a fight. Like, I apologize. For nothing!
Well, this is where he apologizes. But this is a money-making adventure, so, you know. I guess his MMA stuff is too. But, you know.
We're going to shed some tears for the multimillionaire Conor McGregor.
Yes, I know. The rich get richer. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Thank you, Juliet.
All right. We got a lot more to do here. The show's over in like 30 minutes. And then, of course, Bernie and I have to get, you know, beautiful for tonight. Go to Frederick for Kai, get our hair done.
Yeah, we got to get something. We got to get a haircut. That's one. Get our shoes shined.
Shoes shined. Get makeup done.
Get some new underwear.
Have some Russian girl beat the living daylights out of us.
And you love it.
It's all part of the...
I actually hated it, by the way. She separated my shoulder the day I got married, so... That's my father's idea of a good massage. I never got that.
I'm getting kissed by a girl right now.
You're getting what?
A girl is kissing me right now.
It's Kayla.
Kaylin
once again.
Oh, no, Kaylin's the best.
She is.
She is the absolute best.
She's uninhibited, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's a bisexual.
Yeah.
I'm not even... She may even be a trisexual.
She might even be into bestiality.
I don't think... anything with a heartbeat, she'd have sex with.
Right.
She doesn't make a bed.
Or a battery.
Right. Battery. Very good.
Said bestiality, no. Necrophilia, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh. God, necrophilia.
She's wild.
By the way, that says a lot about her boyfriend. Anyway, we've got Jackie the Joke Man Martling coming in. And Matt Meany was our Jilp on the show. Now, Jill, why couldn't you do it yesterday?
I had personal things to take care of.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Like what?
None of your business.
Mm-hmm. How you went to the clinic?
It was really quick this time.
You met Kaylin at the Howard Johnson's.
Kaylin and I had
six.
To do something.
I'm sure you did. All right, well, here it is. We employed Meany because he's great anyway. The board op and producer of the Fine program, one of the four. He's you're like, I'm going to go with, if we're Paul and John.
What?
He's Ringo?
Got to be Ringo.
Oh, the Beatles.
He's got to be Ringo. She's George Harrison?
Yeah.
What instrument did George play?
Let's go with that.
Yoko.
More like it. More like it.
Meany on the streets.
Bernie and Sid in the morning present Jill on the street.
Amazon.com is moving their headquarters to Long Island City. It's going to cost the city and its state over $3 billion to construct. Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, would you rather give him a high five today or punch him in the face?
Yeah, high five.
I live in Jersey, so a high five.
I have no idea. I mean, it's not really necessary.
It isn't necessary.
So that's kind of ridiculous.
I'll say high five them.
High five. Smart guy.
High five.
Why would you give him a high five?
Bringing jobs to New York.
High five. Send him to New York. Keep him out of New Jersey.
I think that Jeff Bezos is a very smart and shrewd person, but I think that being that he's looking for a handout from taxpayers and when him and his company are the most powerful company in the world, that doesn't sit right with me. I like to punch him in the face and shake his hand at the same time.
El Chapo is in Brooklyn Federal Court. Would you rather see him whacked or Sean Penn?
Sean Penn.
El Chapo.
El Chapo.
El Chapo.
Who would you rather see whacked, El Chapo or Sean Penn?
Oh, God, yeah, well, I mean, if El Chapo is responsible for some horrible shit, then, him, he's got to go.
Oof. El Chapo still?
Yeah, he's a terrible person, yeah.
El Chapo?
I got to go with Chapo. I got nothing against Penn.
All right, so we're whacking El Chapo. I like it. The nickname El Chapo means shorty in Spanish. Do you think that nickname is offensive to short people?
Well, it's 2018, so yeah, it'll get offended.
As a short person, I'm not offended, so no.
Never thought about it. I guess it is.
Well, I'm short, so yes.
No, I don't think anyone should be offended by that, because I think people are offended by too much already.
No, I wouldn't be offended.
You're short?
Yeah.
No, I'm short, and I have no problem with it.
I'm not one for political correctness, so I don't think it's offensive.
Not at all. You ever hear of Randy Newman? Short people got no reason.
This year, there's going to be four new floats in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Who would you rather see made into a float, Governor Chris Christie or Rosie O'Donnell?
Governor Chris Christie?
Rosie O'Donnell, definitely.
Both and pop them.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Chris Christie would be too big, so probably Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie's taking a beating these days, so let's go get Christie out of there.
Oh, Chris Christie. This would be hilarious. Especially if it's like the one of him in the beach chair, that'd be the best.
Well, Chris Christie is already afloat, so definitely Chris Christie.
That's funny. A float of him in a beach chair. That's the funniest line.
That was hilarious.
That was awesome.
Nice job, Matt. Oh,
very good, Matt.
Very, very well.
But by the way, if it's not offensive to call somebody shorty, then why can't we call somebody fatty? Or, they call us baldy. Hey, baldy.
It's not offensive. Screw him. By the way, on the way out here, here's who's coming tonight. Tony Danza, Bob Papa, Brian Kenny, Phil Simms, Rosie Perez, Pauly Malignaggi, Danny Aiello, Bernie McGurk, Sid Rosenberg, Amani Toomer, Tony Sirico, Vinny Pistori, who played Big Pussy, Sean Landetta, Russ Salzberg, Jerry Cooney, Jason Marquis, Max Kellerman, Michael Pagliarello, the former Yankee, Stephen A. Smith.
That I will acknowledge.
Those are some of the folks coming to the Teddy Atlas Dinner tonight. Meany does a great job.
Quite the luminary list.
There you go. We'll take a short break. We'll come back with Jackie the Joke Man Martin, then wrap things up on a busy Thursday, award day for Bernie and Sid, and your chance to say peace at the end of the show. All that coming up next.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Sometimes I wonder how I'd ever make it through, through this world without having you. I just wouldn't have a clue. 'Cause sometimes it seems like this world's closing in on me, and there's no way of breaking free. And then I see you reach for me.
See, Bernie was in the back writing material for tonight. I know him. I know you. I know you. Son of a bitch, you're lying to me. You're going to come with all kinds of...
Yeah, you are.
You're probably a Jackie the Joke Man here write jokes Sid, for you.
Jackie.
I already wrote him a few.
See?
Sid is a nervous wreck.
Did you write jokes for Bernie about Phil Simms and Stephen A. Smith? And
whatever he wanted. Whatever he wanted.
He hooked me up. No, we worked. We collaborated.
I'm sure you did, Jackie.
I told
the
him
joke
about the Jewish cheerleader.
Well, what about her?
She says, get that quarterback.
I'm Jewish. That's not funny.
It's very funny.
And I don't get it.
Jackie, trust the that. Joke Man, December 1st.
How can you tell a Jewish guy at the football game?
How do you tell a Jewish guy at the football game,
Jackie? He leaves after the coin is tossed. Hey, they don't count as my five.
So probably not doing great with the Jews at Maguire's Bohemia. I'm telling you right now. It'll be Maguire's Bohemia.
Maguire's in Bohemia on Long Island, 7 p.m. show. Yeah. Great right. place. Great place. Yep. Sells out quick. I can't wait.
Follow Jackie on Twitter. His jokes come at you every day at 4:20. That's at Jackie Martling. And congratulations. Happy anniversary to the Dirty Joke Line. Now 40 years old.
40 years, 516-922-WINE. People have been calling for 40 years.
Why do you send me these things if you're going to read it yourself anyway?
Because I'm interrupting you. I found out.
There's no H in wine, by the way.
No.
Very good.
Well, that's another.
Because it should be.
That's another Jewish joke.
That's three.
So I found out that you know these things, Alexa?
Yeah.
The little round things in your
people
house?
People listen to our show from Alexa.
If you say, Alexa, play Jackie Martling, you sit back and endless jokes for hours and hours. In fact, the scary thing is just me just saying that now. If somebody's radio is by their Alexa right now, there's filthy jokes.
As a matter of fact, I understand they use that down in Guantanamo, to be quite honest with you. I kid Jackie the Joke Man.
A little bit of torture. But, Spotify, Pandora, all of them. You put in my name, the jokes are flying. I'm getting a nice returns from Sound Exchange, so I'm a happy kid.
That's good.
Things are going great for you.
Yes.
You got the book out. You're on the road. You're killing it here every week. People love this. Yes.
You know, I'm good getting feedback. Such great feedback, and the jokes are so silly. You know, why not?
Why not?
It's funny. The hell not?
So a lady has a baby, and all this is a head. Nothing but a head. She has a head. Just a head.
Yeah.
So what's she going to do? She puts her at the top of the stairs on a table looking out the window. What's she going to do? 18 years, the head sits there looking out the window. One day there's a phone call from the hospital. Hello, Mrs. Johnson. It was a terrible accident. Somebody was decapitated. But we saved the body. And we could put your head, not your head, your head, the head you got at home, we could put on top of the body and you could have a regular son after all these years. Well, she's tickled pink. She runs up the stairs. She says, Bobby! Bobby! I got the most wonderful surprise for you. He says, I hope it's not another friggin' hat.
That's funny. It's hilarious.
It's terrible.
So Arnie and his wife are out to dinner, 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
He says, so Sylvia, 25 years, what do you want? A Rolls Royce? A sable coat? A diamond ring? She says, Arnie, I want a divorce.
What?
He says, I wasn't planning on spending that much.
Very good.
So one night in the middle of the night, Luigi wakes up.
Huh?
Luigi wakes up middle of the night. At the end of his bed, there's a guy standing there in a long white robe. What are you doing, Luigi? It's a bedroom. This isn't your bedroom, Luigi. This is heaven. Oh, no, Luigi, not dead yet. 45 years old, not dead yet. I'm sorry, Luigi, you're in heaven. Yeah, you send me back to earth. Send me back to earth. I'm only 45 years old. He says, I can't. I tell you, no. He said, I tell you, the one thing I could do is I could send you back as a hen. That's all right. I just don't want to be dead. At 45, you send me back. Boof! Luigi's in a barnyard. And he looks and says, hey, it's not so bad. I got a nice swing span. Not too crazy about these feet, but hey, not so. And he looks over and there's a rooster. He says, hello. He says, who are you? He says, I'm a Luigi. He says, oh, you must be the new hand. He says, yes, I'm a Luigi. Ah! Ah! Oh, my stomach! The rooster says, oh, Luigi, relax. You're just laying an egg. And Luigi's like, ah! Look at that, not bad. Hey, Luigi, lay egg. Look at that. The rooster says, very good. Oh! Oh, my stomach! The rooster says, go ahead, lay another egg. Luigi's wife wakes him up and says, Luigi, wake up! You pooped the bed!
That was well done.
Very well done.
So a kid's walking down the street and there's a priest coming the other way. He says, hey, mister, how come you're wearing your collar backwards? He says, because, son, I'm a father. Yeah, my old man's got three kids. He don't wear his collar backwards. You understand, my son? I have thousands of children. He said, you should wear your friggin' trousers back. All right, so a couple leaves Denver, and they're driving to New York City. And they get about as far as Kansas, and the wife is very hard of hearing. He says, you know, I think I'm going to pull over and get some gas. She says, what? He says, son, I think I'm going to pull over and get some gas. She says, all right. He's pulling, tells the kid to fill it up. She says, as long as we're here, I think I'll use the men's room. She says, what? I said, as long as we're here, I think I'm going to go pee. All right. So he goes in, uses the men's room, and comes back out, and the kid's standing there pumping gas. And the kid looks at the license plate. He says, Colorado, eh? Only knew one babe in Colorado. Worst piece of ass I ever had. The wife sticks her head out the window and says, what? He said he thinks he knows you.
All right. There you have him, Jackie the Joke Man. Fast and Furious 5. That was hysterical.
Use them all weekend, folks. Use them all weekend.
And don't forget, Jackie the Joke Man, December 1st, McGuire's in Bohemia, Long Island, 7 o'clock. And, of course, 4:20 p.m. at Jackie Martling, The Daily Joke.
On Twitter.
And
say, Alexa, play Jackie Martling and stand back and thank you guys. You know how much I love this.
516-922-WYN as well. Jackie, great. We'll take a short break and wrap things up on Bernie and Sid right after these words. All right, we got to get out of here. We got a lot to do today. Got to go tanning, get a massage, shave, go to a boot store, all this stuff for this big event tonight. So, but it was a great show today. Jesus Everybody was great.
What? I got to take a nap.
You got to write a speech.
I got to do squat. I got to take a nap. That's all. Get my butt out to Staten Island.
You show up with like a briefcase, like a lawyer. Ready to thank like a million people.
You're really nervous, aren't
Charles
you?
McCord.
You are just shaking in your boots.
No, I'm not nervous. I'm going to go up there with nothing. And I'm going to be funny and cute and be done.
I mean.
You're going to have like 9,000 pages of.
I'm not going to have a.
You're probably going to call Conan's writers today or something. Who knows?
I don't need Conan's writers. They ripped me off.
That's true. You're right.
I could attest to that.
They ripped my FedEx hat with the Cardinal. They ripped that off.
They did?
Yes, they did.
We're going to do peace. We did say earlier today we're going to allow people now to, fans of the show, to do peace with us after the show. Say hello, everybody, on line four to Karen, and she's from Idaho. Idaho. Good morning,
guys.
Karen.
Congrats on tonight.
Thank you.
See,
that's very sweet.
What part are you in? Boise? Where are you?
Pocatello. There's only one city in Idaho. Pocatello.
Pocatello.
And how do you come to us? To IMUS or something? How do you know about us?
Oh, I've watched IMUS for years, and you guys are the best. I love it every morning.
Thank you.
Wow, that's
right.
Cool. That's
and
very
you know
nice.
What time I have to get up to listen to you guys.
I know. It's an ungodly hour. Hey, you're going to do this with another big fan of the Bernie and Sid show. She's very loyal and a sweetheart, and we love her. On line six is Judy from Brooklyn. Man. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. Listen here, guys. This show will be perfect when you get it right. You've got to say peace all together as one.
Let me just say. Judy, this is the spectrum. Judy from Brooklyn to Idaho. I mean,
we got a lot of people saying it today. We got Matt Meany, Jill,
yes.
Sid, Bernie.
It's a big deal.
Juliet, Karen, and Judy. There's like seven people saying peace. So Bernie's going to count this down. We're all going to say it. And we're going to get the hell out of here. So
okay, it's going to be
together.
Listen, I'm going to count one, two, three, and when I'm supposed to say four, that's when you say peace. All right,
here we go.
So for Bernie and Sid on this Friday, great Friday Eve, the night we receive an award.
That's right.
One, two, three.
Peace.